much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, get ready to have your blown off, ladies.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I want your badge. I want your weapon. I want your ass. Who the f*** do you think you are?
He thinks he's Rambo.
Rambo is a pussy.
People should go to soup plantations. It's pretty healthy. Vegetables, a lot of tomatoes, mushrooms, onions, and raw vegetables, and it can help someone lose weight. It's definitely good. It can help people not to be too stuffed. Much better than hamburgers. And also, it can help people to have a longer lifespan.
And now,
it's the story of a man with a brothel of a home and a pool filled with human excrement.
Our feature presentation.
That is exactly what it is. Or another way to say it would be a brand new Kevin and Bean show here for a Wednesday morning, the 25th of March. Hey, Ellie.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
Just hanging out, ready for the show.
Did you, you might have noticed in that open there was a little of your new boyfriend, Doto.
Yeah.
Talking about the soup plantation, apparently the healthiest place on earth. It will not surprise you that although Doto called us this week from Portland, a mere 2.5 hours from my house, and I very strongly invited him to come up and see me and spend some time with me, I have not heard a word back from him.
That's his MO. He just kind of pops in and out.
Yep.
Huh.
That's why he's the international man of mystery, is that he will contact you, and then you're very excited, and you want to, you know, get some sort of contact going, some sort of dialogue happening, and then he just drops off the face of the earth, and then we'll hear from him again in 6 weeks, and he'll be in Bali. So that's how he rolls.
Like every one of my relationships, so I totally get it. He is my fake boyfriend. I get it.
They're there for the sex, and then they're gone for dinner. That's how it works with Doto, I think. So I'm very sad. I was really looking forward to him coming up, but I bet I couldn't find him now if I tried. So
I'm sorry about that.
I have an interesting to me. I don't know if it'll be interesting to anybody else. It's a radio story, which is partly why I'm interested, because I love radio stories and radio people. But I think this is funny. There's a radio station. It's not one of ours. It's an ESPN-affiliated radio station. It's an all-sports station in Washington, D.C., and it's The Team, WTEM. And they did a big campaign this spring about a new morning radio show that they were getting ready to debut called The Man Cave. By the way, what a horrible.
I'm already done.
Horrible, yeah. Like, doesn't that make you want to not listen to The Man Cave?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a thing like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
I've heard girls say, if I'm thinking about dating somebody and he mentions his man cave, I'm out. That's all I need to know about him. So anyway, they were going with The Man Cave. And it was two guys who I think are fairly well known in the market. One of them was a Washington Post columnist named Jason Reed. The other was a radio guy. And the show is advertised, billboards, lots of promos on the station like you do when you're drumming up interest in a brand new show. And then abruptly out of nowhere, the show was canceled. With no explanation, and people have been trying to figure out, they hired these guys and they promoted this show, and it looked like this was going to be their play, and then they canceled the show. What happened?
It hadn't even started?
Had not even started yet. It was a couple of weeks away from debuting, right? So it wasn't anything they did. So there was a lot of speculation, and the theory that has really taken hold that I've been hearing a lot is that Dan Snyder, the man who owns the radio station, also owns the Washington Redskins, and that Jason Reed, one of the new hosts, has been extremely critical of the Redskins, has been just blast. Of course, they're a horrible team and have been horrible for a long time, but he has just been merciless in how much he has ridden Dan Snyder about the choices that he's made for the Redskins. So the conventional wisdom has been that the owner of the station stepped in and said, look, this guy is not going to be good for us because he's going to be doing nothing but bad-mouthing my team every morning in Washington, D.C. I can't have that. So that was the theory, and then it kind of went away. Well, now it has been revealed, Ali Mae, what really happened to the Man Cave.
Okay.
And it's even more bizarre. Apparently, the station got a call from the head of ESPN. The guy who runs ESPN, and he said, you don't have the authority. We have a contract with Mike and Mike, the show that you are going to be bumping to put the man cave on, and we're going to sue you if you dump their show. We're going to sue you. You can't do this. This is John Skipper calling from ESPN saying, forget it. You've got Mike and Mike. You've got a contract with Mike and Mike, and it's airtight, and you got to keep Mike and Mike on the air.
Okay.
Station management said, wow, we don't want any kind of that kind of trouble with ESPN. We're just a small broadcaster here, so I guess we'll cancel the show. They fired the guy who was going to be the producer for the Man Cave show, and that's it. They went on their way. Until it was revealed that John Skipper from ESPN knew nothing about it,
and the
call was an imposter.
Yeah! What?
Somebody prank called the team pretending to be John Skipper from ESPN and talked them into canceling their morning show.
Oh, my gosh.
And nobody knows who it was. They're still investigating, but the call did come from an 860 area code, which is in Connecticut, Bristol, where ESPN is headquartered. And the guy sounded exactly like John Skipper with the North Carolina accent. And people in the sports world know who he is, have seen him.
Skipper's very well known. And you don't mess with Skipper. So I get why they pulled it quickly, but no emails, no paper trail, no nothing.
That was all it took, was two different phone calls where he said, I'm suing you if you take Mike and Mike off. So they said, well, okay, I guess it's Mike and Mike. So
I think we know who did it.
Who do you think did it?
Mike Golic, obviously.
You think so?
Yeah, he's like, I need to be on air in D.C.
Would he do it personally or would he hire somebody to do it?
I think they probably did it for their show as a joke.
So you think we'll hear tape of those phone calls
Wouldn't
at some point?
Oh, I hope so. It was. I was totally kidding, but that's a whole other way to look at it. Best prank ever.
Well, I don't know. The Washington Post article does not reveal how they found out that it was a prank call that got the show bumped, but the show is back on.
Man Cave's back.
The Man Cave is going to be debuting, I think, on Monday. I think they're actually going to be back. So after all that, you know, maybe this is great for them. Maybe they've had so much. They probably had tons of press in Washington, D.C. swirling around why the show's not on the air, why they got fired.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think they were behind it or the station was behind it, but I don't think it's going to hurt them. You know,
they're
getting on a couple of weeks late. But, you know, they're getting free press out of this like nobody's business. So.
What an emotional roller coaster for those guys, though. Super stoked. You're on a bunch of billboards. Then, oh, no, get a new job.
Exactly. And now they get the call back. Okay, you're back on. So I just love that. I have a mixed relationship with prank calls. They make me very uncomfortable. But, you know, as we talked about last week with the guy who pranked C-SPAN. Sometimes they're just so funny you can't help but go with it.
Yeah, they're gold.
So, all right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I hate everything and everyone.
Well, that's not
she
the attitude.
Real negative.
Wow, she a bitchy. I got a brand new Bean Makes Us Guests on the program today. We also have our old friend Jay Moore stopping by. You have not met him, right, Allie?
Not in person, no.
Oh, he's the best.
Can't wait.
He's the best. Got some shows coming up at Brea Improv shortly, plus, of course, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Brand new Internet Roundup on the show today. What's up with cricket on the show today? Apparently the Cricket World Cup is happening or getting ready to. Expecting an audience over a billion for the Cricket World Cup. Is there any sport, and you're a sports fan, is there any sport more incomprehensible to you than cricket?
No, it makes no sense. And just when you think you understand what's happening, no, it all goes out the window.
There's a new video out that is going to attempt to break it down for us and explain it so that we too can enjoy cricket. I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll find out. All of that, and we're going to catch up with a Kevin and Bean listener, a tragic Kevin and Bean listener. We talked to her last year shortly after it happened. She had, if I recall correctly, the flesh-eating bacteria, got it in the gym, a young, healthy woman who got it in the gym, and ended up losing all four limbs.
Oh, my.
Arms and legs. And we talked to her a couple of times back shortly after that happened during her recovery. Her name's Caitlin DeBrow, and she has the most unbelievable attitude. I mean, I think so many of us would just give up at that point. Put me down, Mom, you know?
Yeah.
She's a fighter, though, and she is awesome. And she is back home, and she has been they've been doing amazing things with her with rehabilitation and with, you know, helping her get some arms and legs because they've come a long way with that. And we're going to get an update from Caitlin and find out how she's doing and what we can do to help because anything we can do to help, we're going to help Caitlin because, I mean, that's a tough hand to play right there, isn't it?
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
How old is she? Do we know?
She's in her early 20s, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear her story.
I mean, talk about there, but for the grace of God, go I. I mean, that could happen to anyone, and it happened to her. So we'll find out how Caitlin's doing. We'll try to help her out. All of that, plus your tickets for April Foolishness on the show today. More Furious 7 tickets, and Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, and that's next on K-Rock. Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:56. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What the hell's going on?
Sad and surprising news is what's going on. John Hamm has just completed a 30-day rehab program for alcohol abuse. All this happening just days before the premiere of the final season of Mad Men.
I was surprised to hear this. I had never heard of him having a problem. Had you?
And I hadn't either. Doesn't mean, just because it's not public, doesn't mean it's not going on, of course. And TMZ's got the story where Hamm's people are telling them, with the support of his longtime partner, Jennifer Westfeld, John Hamm recently completed treatment for his struggle with alcohol addiction. They've asked for privacy and sensitivity going forward. So good for him for getting a handle on it before he got into some big, big trouble.
Sure.
Never heard of him getting a DUI or anything like that. Even acting.
Well, that's why I'm saying. That's why I was a surprise, because he didn't seem like it had ruined his life in terms of a lot of sloppy stories about
him. Some
people
don't wait until they have to get into rehab in order to recognize they have a problem. And say,
that's smart.
You know, maybe my life would be better without this going on. I'm just going to go take care of that. We were talking yesterday about the Fast and the Furious film, Furious 7, which is due in theaters next Friday. And, of course, the cast is out there promoting it, like Vin Diesel did an interview with Variety this week, claiming that the film will be the biggest movie in history for Universal Pictures. And, wait for it, it will probably win Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yay!
Bold. Put your money down. Go
Unless
to Vegas.
The Oscars don't want to be relevant ever. Oh, no, you didn't.
Look, I haven't seen the movie. It's possible it's great. But
it's
that's
going
seems
to
unlikely.
Be the biggest movie in history for Universal Pictures and will win Best Picture at the Oscars.
Hmm. So he likes it? He thinks it's good?
I don't think he cares for it. Meanwhile, co-star Michelle Rodriguez said that the death of Paul Walker had such an effect on her, it caused her to go off the rails last year. She said she was pushing herself to feel, because nothing could make her feel alive after his death, and she admits she was simply traveling around having random sex with people.
When was this?
It was last year.
We missed the window of opportunity?
Yeah, I guess you'd make a trip to your island. I guess you'd have to be in the world in order to run across her, Bean.
You don't know, man.
I do know, man. And if you didn't catch us talking about it at the end of yesterday's show, it has been announced that The X-Files is coming back to Fox. A 6-episode miniseries, basically, with the return of Scully and Mulder. Chris Carter's back on board. So after a 13-year commercial break, as Chris Carter is calling it, they're coming back to tell us more spooky stories, and I can't wait.
I think that's awesome.
Speaking of TV, Paula Deen is coming back on television today. She's been off TV since her racist comments in 2013. She's bringing her show, Paula Deen's Kitchen, to something that's called Evine Live, which is a cable channel that was formerly known as a shopping network called ShopHQ.
Oh, she's not on BET?
Because she made racist stuff.
Yes, Allie, you put your finger on it. The show will be a live 3-hour program in which Paula will offer exclusive food and pantry items for purchase. So this is still sort of a shopping network. But she will also be answering viewer questions, giving you cooking tips, and giving you recommendations of how to get black people out of your neighborhood. Today's celebrity birthdays, Aretha Franklin. She is the queen of soul.
She sure the hell is.
She's 73 years old today. Singer Elton John. Not familiar with his work, but...
It's Elton.
What?
Yeah.
He is 68 years old today. Sarah Jessica Parker turns 50.
How dare you?
Lee Pace is
beautiful.
36. Oh, stop.
How did you not give her a ding, Bean?
Listen, stop it.
Because we've seen her. Because we know what she looks like.
You can enjoy her
so
work.
Wrong.
You can appreciate her. You can be one of those Sex and the City people. Allie McKay, but what you cannot do is say that Sarah Jessica Parker is beautiful. You can't say that. You
nope.
just cannot say it.
I did, and I will, and I'll keep doing it. How horrible are you?
Lee Pace is 36 years old today. He's a talented guy. Actress Jenny Slate. She's funny and pretty. She's 33. Catherine McPhee!
That's how you put a woman together, Allie.
That's one of
you're horrible.
It's one of my favorite days ever, the birthday of McPhee. I still got the McPhee-ver.
Why don't you take your Sarah Jessica Parker and tear her apart and then put her back together and make her look like Catherine McPhee, and then we can talk about a bell.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Bean is gone this morning. He is out of the gates. He is going wire to wire. Catherine McPhee is 31 years old today. Rapper Big Sean is 27. Musician Ryan Lewis is also 27. And Ally McCulka, currently Peyton on iZombie. She was, of course, on that show with her sister, Allie and...
AJ?
AJ. Thank you so much.
If she's on the CW, I assume she's a belle as well.
She's very beautiful, yes. She's 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm just glad Jim Croce is making new music. That's all I'm saying.
He's not.
Oh, that's Family of the Year. You're right. I read the label wrong. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. Welcome in on a Wednesday morning. Hey, Beer Mug.
Hey, Bean. How you doing?
It's been a while since I've talked to you, young man, but I'm glad you're here because it's time, and you're the best at this. It's time for a new game, a new edition of the game that we like to call Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
As you guys know, I enjoy lists.
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
What it is. There's something about lists.
Asperger's.
I can't
He's
stay away
the
from
man. The man who really loves his lists.
Maps, too, come to think of it. But
yeah, and he loves maps.
And this is kind of the best of both worlds because yesterday, after we did the phone-in topic with our listeners who were calling in with all the grave sites that they have visited around the world, I came across a list of the top 10 most visited celebrity grave sites in the world. And I thought this was really, really fascinating. Now, I will give you one hint before we start to guess. I say that these are the most visited in the world, but everybody on here is an English language Western star. So I'm kind of a little bit surprised that there's not some, you know, movie star in India that we've never heard of that's on this list. But I'm just giving you a heads up that all 10 of these are people that you guys have heard of.
You know why it is? Because in India, they've got actual problems and real lives, and they don't have time for this BS. That's why it doesn't happen.
We found out yesterday that Ralph is not a fan of people who visit grave sites. But there are a couple that will not be a surprise to you on the list. Maybe there's some that are a surprise, but I thought it might be fun to kind of go around the room a little bit and see how many of the top 10 most visited grave sites in the world you guys can come up with. How about ladies first? Allie, we'll give you the first guess if you want to go ahead.
I will go Jim Morrison.
Yes, of course, Jim Morrison. He is buried in Paris, France. He comes in at number 4 on the list. That's a grave I've been to, by the way, Jim Morrison.
Of course you have.
All right, Ralph, you're up next.
Elvis Presley.
Of course. Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. Elvis is at number 3 on the list. Beer Mug.
Let's go Kurt Cobain.
I'm sorry, no.
Oh!
Kurt Cobain doesn't have a grave, by the way.
Does not
have a public grave. And that listener who called in yesterday talking about visiting his house, he visited the location where his house was because they tore down that part of the house where he committed suicide.
He does not want to be found, this Kurt Cobain.
No, the family has decided to keep him pretty under wraps, but there is no grave for Kurt. That wasn't a bad guess from Muggs, though. He certainly didn't know that. All right, Allie, I believe you're up next.
Let's go Jimi Hendrix.
Believe it or not, Jimi Hendrix is not on the top 10 list. I was surprised as well. His grave, of course, is in Seattle, Washington. I've been to that one, but it is not in the top 10. Ralph.
Marilyn Monroe.
Number 5 on the list.
There I go.
And she is buried where? In the Hollywood Los Angeles Cemetery, right?
I believe.
She's got a...
Forest Lawn, no?
Forest Lawn, is that what it is? She's got that...
I believe so, yeah.
That crypt there.
Stop saying
there?
I believe so, Beerman, like you know anything about anything. Yeah, I believe so, yes. You don't know where she's buried.
I don't.
Wasn't there a story a few years ago, Ralph, about how they were auctioning off the space on top of where she is?
I think Hugh Hefner bought the slot in the what do they call those walls?
Like a mausoleum.
Mausoleums, yeah. And I think he got the one next to hers. Yeah, but nice. I think it's Forest Lawn, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Huh. All right. So, Ralph, 2 for 2, by the way. Ali, 1 for 2. Beer Mug, 0 for 1. But let's give him his second guess now.
I just thought of this. Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, is number 1.
Wow.
On the top 10 visited grave sites.
I didn't think you could get to his grave.
Let's see where Michael Jackson is. He is also at Forest Lawn, by the way, the Country Club of the Dead in Hollywood Hills, California, in the Great Mausoleum. Mm. So Michael Jackson, number 1 on the list. Very well done.
Yeah, all right, I know dead people.
Allie, you're up next.
I will say Johnny Cash.
I am sorry, no.
Johnny Cash. Come on.
That's a good guess.
On
That's
purpose
a good guess.
You said that?
Why would you not want to, out of all these people?
He is buried in Nashville, Tennessee. He does have a very popular grave site, but he did not make the top 10 on this list from IGN. I'm sorry.
Dumbest list.
Ralph Garman, who is undefeated at this point.
I am undefeated, yes. Let's all remember that. Because I didn't say Johnny Cash. That's why I remain undefeated.
Hey, that wasn't a bad guess,
by
the way.
It was a dumb guess.
It's just not on the list. It's a little harder now, I think, though.
It does get a little harder now. James Dean. Popular movie star James Dean. What?
I'm sorry, no. I don't know anything about where Mr. Dean is buried, by the way. I don't know if he's got a... I think he does have a grave you can visit.
I think he does, yes.
Mugs, you're up.
I'm going to go... John Belushi.
Really?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Really?
He's an icon, a pop culture icon.
There are lots of famous people who have died, but does Belushi raise to the list of having the kind of fans that would travel from all over the world to go stand at his gravestone?
There are a lot of rabid John Belushi
Stop
fans.
Really? Stop talking.
Yeah. God. All right, Allie, you fail at this game, but we'll give you another shot.
Yeah, I am not good.
June Carter Cash?
I will say JFK.
No. That's great. Wow. Another great guess.
Come on.
I would have said the same, by the way, but no.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Sorry, no, Muggs.
Buddy Holly.
Allie.
Big Bopper.
Richie Valens, I'm going to say.
There's the trifecta right there. All right, are you guys out?
Shut up. No, we're not out.
The worst
I'm not
game.
Giving up. How many are left?
I don't know. Probably about 5, I would
imagine.
5
left. We got to get some more of these. Come on, people now.
Okay.
Famous deads.
Clark, I think it's real. Is it your turn, Muggs?
I think so.
All right.
Clark Gable.
What's wrong with you? That's dumb.
I will say there are a couple of international superstars.
John Lennon.
There are a couple of international superstars
John
on this
Lennon list. Isn't with the Imagine and the
We know,
the
we know
flowers.
Who he is.
International.
Not on the list.
Hey, Ali, he was
Move
in
on.
The Beatles. Did you know that?
And with the Beatles.
With the Strawberries and the Fields.
And Forever.
The Yokos.
All right, Ralph, you're up. If you're just joining us, we're trying to guess the top 10 visited grave sites in America. No, I say that meaning they're famous around the world.
That's what I'm saying, too, by saying international.
All right.
Oh, all right, just give me a second, bastards. Come on, who are we missing? It's got to be some biggies, right?
I will say that 3 of them at least are British. How about that for a hint?
John Lennon.
Shut up.
The rest of the list are British.
Who's on the list? British.
British.
A king of some kind.
All right, I'm gonna cut it off there.
Right. Shut up! Just give
you guys. All right, number 10. I didn't expect you to get. I've been to his grave. He's buried in the same cemetery in Paris as Jim Morrison is writer Oscar Wilde.
Oh.
He's number 10 on the list.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, really.
Right?
Oh. Oscar Wilde. He used to live with Felix in The Odd Couple.
Number 9 is Bruce Lee. I think we had. Do we name that?
Oh,
we named Bruce
no.
Lee.
We didn't
say Bruce
I was gonna
Lee.
Guess that
no,
too.
You weren't.
Yes, I was.
Number 8 is Mark Twain, ladies and gentlemen. Wouldn't have come up with that. Number 7, Ralph Garman. Shame on you, sir. Shame on you. Palm Springs, California.
Oh,
Frank
Sinatra.
Mother Effin Sinatra is number 7 on the list.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Number 6 is another of the Brits on the list. Her name is Princess Diana.
Ah, right, her.
5, Marilyn Monroe. I think we got that one. Jim Morrison was at number 4. Elvis Presley was number 3. The only other one we missed on the list with Michael Jackson at number 1 was William Shakespeare was number 2 on the list.
Yeah.
The most visited gravesites. Leaves this reviewer cold?
Yeah,
he was a hack.
Stupid. That's Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning in. And hi to the people who are listening to this later in the day on the Kevin and Bean podcast. We really appreciate you subscribing on iTunes or through kevinandbean.com or krock.com. We're all big sports fans here on the show, and this is a wonderful time of year. Allie, I know that you're frantically watching hockey every night to make sure the Kings make the playoffs. I know that's where you're at right now.
2 points last night.
Congratulations. We got another big weekend of NCAA college basketball coming up. We're just less than 2 weeks away from the start of the baseball season, so there's a lot of good stuff going on. But I saw this in the sports headlines yesterday. New Zealand beat South Africa in a thriller to reach the World Cup final. Now, I don't know anything about cricket, but that's what the sport is that's in play here. New Zealand beat South Africa with a six off the penultimate ball to reach the World Cup final for the first time. With five needed from two balls, Grant Elliott hit Dale Steyn into the stands to finish unbeaten on 84 and seal a four-wicket win. Now,
what?
Are you following? Are you tracking at this point?
No, not a word.
I did a little bit of research because cricket, I mean, it does sort of look like baseball, but it is so confounding to me. And I found this video that Slate.com put together to try to help people like me understand cricket. Let's listen to a little bit of this.
Okay, so first of all, let's get one thing out of the way. Despite the shared batting of pitch balls and affinity for standing around in fields of grass, the sport has very little in common with baseball.
Okay.
Sorry to disappoint, Americans. Still, though, we use America's pastime as the starting reference point for convenience sake. Because, well, it's awesome, and the two do have some things in common. In baseball, the game is played within the confines of boundaries that determine whether a hit ball is fair or foul. But those don't exist in cricket.
Oh.
Instead, the entirety of the field is in play. A cricket field is made up of a large grass oval with a 66-foot-long playing area, or pitch, in the middle.
Okay.
Set up on both ends of the pitch, the part in the middle, are what are known as wickets. Wickets are made up of three wooden poles called stumps, which are hammered into the ground and connected on top by two horizontal wooden pieces called bales. Among other things, the wickets are the bowler's, think pitcher's, target. But we'll talk more about wickets later.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know he's trying, and I'm sure he's doing a good job, but with the wickets and the bales, and I'm out. I don't. Yeah. Are you following there, Allie?
I heard Ewok, and then he lost me. I have no idea what's happening.
Well, we asked Dave, help us understand a sport that's so popular that more than a billion people around the world will be watching the World Cup final in the next week or so. And he found us a cricket expert. His name is Nigel Larson Walker. He is with the British Council of Cricketers, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Walker. How are you, sir?
Sorry to correct you, but it's cricketer.
Sorry. See, already I displayed my ignorance of your sport.
No,
I apologize.
It's quite understandable. It happens all the time.
Well, we don't have cricket here in the United States, as far as I know, at least not any kind of organized leagues that are popular. So what are we missing about this sport that's so popular around the rest of the world?
It's just a brilliant, brilliant game. We just really have a great time playing it. And once you understand the basic foundation for the game, it's actually quite simple to follow.
Okay, can you help me out with, because really I know it has a lot of unfamiliar terms to us, but can you simplify it for me?
Absolutely. It comes down basically to batting and bowling, and of course in the modern era a player must be adept at both. This includes a wicketkeeper who is adept at batting. Now, when a series of balls are delivered by the spin bowler using more of a looping trajectory than usual, the bowler is said to be giving some ball some air. This is a combination of topspin, ensuring to lure the batsman into misreading the length of the ball, and a combination of the offspring or the leg spin. His objective is to give the ball more time to drift.
So, in other words, it would be like a pitcher in baseball who throws a curveball.
Exactly, unless, of course, he's using a googly, a wrongin, or a bosey. This would be a deceptive spinning delivery by a leg spin bowler, which spins in the opposite direction to the stock delivery. For a right-handed bowler, for example, and a right-handed batsman, a googly would turn from the offside of the leg, developed, of course, around 1900 when this all happened, and an all-rounder would have to know that the top-order batsman, capable of batting for long durations throughout the inning, is usually playing at numbers three or four in such a role, unless, of course, there's a batting collapse. And then the anchor, of course, plays defensively and is often the top scorer in the inning.
Are you just saying words?
No. If a batsman, for example, is coming off the back foot, the foot that is closest to the stumps, then the bowler's front foot is the last foot to contact the ground before the ball is released. And the other foot, of course, is being the back foot. Unless the bowler, of course, is bowling off the wrong foot of the bowling foot, and that foot then would be the back foot.
Okay, let me break it down to this question. How do you win?
Right, very well. The batsman, or the players on the batting side, or the player whose specialty is batting, or one or two members of the batting side who are currently in the crease, they must indeed bat the ball, while a fielder who's in position close to the batsman on the leg side, to, if he can catch the ball, if it hits the bat and then the pad, and it rises to a catchable height, then, of course, that would be considered the attacking field. Now, not to be confused, of course, with Cow's Corner.
Now, what the hell is that?
Cow's Corner. Well, the cow corner is the area of the field roughly between mid-wicket and the wide long on, so-called because few legitimate shots are aimed at this part of the field, so fielders are rarely placed there. This is the concept that cows could happily graze in the area because they've never been bothered.
Nigel Larson-Walker for the British Council of Cricketers. Do you believe that you have successfully explained this game to America?
Absolutely, absolutely. Except, of course, for the dead ball situation, which happens when, one, there's a state of play in between deliveries in which a batsman may not score or runs or be given out, or two, called when the ball becomes large in the batsman's clothing or equipment, or perhaps three, when the ball is called about to be bowled when the batsman is not yet ready for the delivery, called when a bowler aborts his run without making the delivery, or perhaps called when the batsman attempts to run leg-byes, and the ball struck the batsman's body, but is deemed not to have offered a shot. Unless, of course, it's called when the bowler dislodges, bails at a non-striking end with part of his body while in the act of delivering the ball.
Ali, you got all that?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Strokes on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, the Outside Lands Concert Festival announcement was made this week, as well as Lollapalooza for 2015. You can get details on both of those at KROQ.com. Great lineups, I think, Ali, don't you?
I would go to Outside Lands in a second, just for D'Angelo and Wilco alone.
It's unbelievable how many of these festivals are, yet they're still able to attract like 100 bands for each one.
Amazing.
It's just, it's crazy routing. Anyway, check that out. All the details at KROQ.com. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. Our friend Jay Moore joins us next hour. Adam Carolla on the program and a brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup as well. First, though, lots of ways that you can contact the show. Of course, you can always leave us a message on the Kevin Abean Facebook page. We're on Kevin Abean Instagram. We got Kevin Abean Twitter. And the old-fashioned way, and I guess some people still call, but the old-fashioned way is to email. Email is a thing, apparently. That is still done. And from time to time, we like to dip in and see what y'all are talking about. Let's start with this one. Bean, I'm pretty sure you are the only person in the world who knows my pain. I'm a loyal podcast listener, says Chris from South Pasadena. But I miss out sometimes because I can't call in on your phone topics, like the pet peeves that people about things that people say. Well, I'm about to lose it. Here's mine. Sherbert. Sherbert is not a word. Who decided to start pronouncing sherbet with an extra R? It's driving me crazy. I can't go to Jamba Juice, the grocery store, or any ice cream shop without having people listen, you know, have people listen to, or have to listen to people, excuse me, chew on my language and then spit it out. Could you please, please address this on the air? I cannot stand it anymore. With your help, we can try to raise the average IQ by a few points and prevent people from speaking like Floridians. It would be greatly appreciated. Fire beer mug. Have you heard that, Ali? Sherbert?
Yes, and I think I called it that growing up until finally someone's like, why are you adding an R? And that's because my family's from Massachusetts. We add R's and drop A's. But yeah, sherbet just doesn't sound right.
Because I think this is one of those words that more people say incorrectly than correctly. So when you say it right, it sounds like you're wrong.
Yeah.
Dear Kevin Abean, oh, this is a sweet email from our friend Chad, longtime listener Chad in Sherman Oaks. I heard you guys talking about Mr. T and his new television show on the show this morning. Last summer, I ran into him at a grocery store. I said hi and asked if he'd take a photo with my two-year-old daughter and me. Not only did he do that, but he also gave my daughter a talking Mr. T keychain, which he kept in a small duffel bag in his shopping cart. Apparently, he carries them around to give to the kids that he runs into.
Oh.
My daughter now tells me to quit my jibber-jabber. After a few kind words were exchanged there in the store, Mr. T said goodbye with the sweetest thing I've ever heard anyone say to a complete stranger. He said, I hope I never do anything to let either of you down. It nearly made me cry. Popo Zal, Chad from Sherman Oaks. He's too good to be true.
He's the most amazing man in the world. How lucky
hey there, Bean. I know, he's the best. Hey there, Bean. Podcast listener here, so late on this, but my husband and my first date was at Graceland Cemetery in Chicago. We wanted to visit the graves of Frank Lloyd Wright and other architects because they designed their own mausoleums. We're not morbid people, but we make a point to visit ceremonies when we travel. We stroll through and contemplate the lives and legacies of the people buried there. We find it inspiring and romantic. He actually proposed to me at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery right between Douglas Fairbanks and Johnny Ramone. Of course, I said yes because obviously we're both insane, and who else would have us? Fire beer mug, says June from Oakland, California. That's getting engaged in a cemetery.
And first date in a cemetery.
Yeah, you don't hear about that very much, do you?
Hate it.
Continuing on with email to the show. And by the way, you can write to any of us. Bean at KROQ.com, Ralph at KROQ.com, Kevin at KROQ.com, King of Mexico at KROQ.com, Ali at KROQ.com. We're all there if you ever need to get word to us. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. I am currently deployed in Afghanistan, which is exactly as much fun as you think it would be. Recently, I discovered your show is available on a podcast. It's one of the biggest highlights of every day. I used to live in Southern California for college, and I've missed the show since leaving. Thank you for providing the show free of charge. Regards, Matt. Matt, we're thanking you here. You're not thanking us, okay?
Right.
You're in Afghanistan protecting us. We're just doing, you know, penis jokes. That's all we're doing. So, really, it's right back at you, buddy. Thanks so much for listening, and come home safe, would you please? Dear Kevin and Bean, as a longtime listener, over 25 years, which probably makes me one of your oldest listeners, I am 68.
Wow.
Does that seem possible? Sure. A 68-year-old could put up with this nonsense?
Well, put up versus maybe it's just on in the background. They can't reach the radio.
Maybe that's what. Yeah. Maybe he fell down and he can't get up.
He fell down.
I am also the president of the Los Angeles Civil War Roundtable and a member of the Sons of the Union Veterans of the Civil War. I was happy to hear that you recently visited Vicksburg on your trip to Mississippi. I'm sorry you didn't make it to some of the other battlefields, but Vicksburg is certainly one of the most important. I was also pleased to hear you tell your audience that the South called the War of Northern Aggression. You should also know that the people in the North call it the War of the Rebellion. In fact, there is a 34-volume set of books which contains all the official reports and documents from the Union Army and some from Confederate sources for the war. I don't think I need to go that deep into the Civil War. No one called the war the Civil War, as there was nothing civil about it. Unfortunately, I can't tell you where that term came from or how it became the accepted name for the war. While people on the Union side consider the war to have ended in 1865, people in the South say it's not over yet. Thanks for putting on the best morning radio show. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Dean Smith, Los Angeles, California. That's interesting.
None of that rhymed with Bugatti, though. I was
and
waiting
finally,
for it.
Finally, funny you should ask that. Oh, you thought it was so long and boring that that must be where he was headed. I think it's just fascinating that we have A, a 68-year-old, and B, that he's a member of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War and the Los Angeles Civil War Roundtable. Like, who knew that was a thing?
Well, why don't you get together with him next time you're in town, do one of those dress-up reenactments?
You think so?
Absolutely.
Instead of bringing it here into work? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying.
And finally, hello, Kevin Bean, Ralph Alley. I'm an avid listener, but I was unable to catch most of last week's show due to my sporadic work schedule. I was listening on the Monday the 9th podcast when you had Charlto Copley on as a guest, and towards the end of the interview, I couldn't help but notice that Kevin grossly mispronounced your Ralph's name. Right as he was congratulating Mr. Copley on his PlayStation TV show, Kevin stated, "It's a terrific show, Shardle," as in the slang term sharded. I can only assume that Kevin was once again intoxicated on the job, and he can't pronounce the guy who's Chappy. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Come on. He can't pronounce the guy who's Chappy. Thank you, Kevin and Bean, for entertaining me every day. That is from Matt. He listens in San Francisco, California. Drop us an email. Get in touch. Thanks for listening. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. That's coming up next on K-Rock. Our friend Jay Moore joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has some stand-up dates coming up at the Brea Improv this weekend. And, of course, he'll be on the April Foolishness lineup, April 4th at the Shrine as well. Love Jay. Looking forward to him stopping by. First, though, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat. Ralph, take your time because I just found out that Allie has to pee. So make this showbiz as long as you want.
Well, sure. You're not in the studio with her. What do you care? Fans of Super Troopers, right? Everybody loves Super Troopers, don't they?
Yep.
Funny movie. Broken Lizard Comedy Troupe put together Super Troopers 14 years ago, I think it was. Well, it's a sign of the times. Super Troopers 2 in the works, but they're asking for a little financial help. So they are crowdfunding via Indiegogo. The wherewithal to do Super Troopers 2.
How much do they need to make a movie like that?
$2 million, I think, is what they're looking for.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet they'll get that.
Let me see. I got it here someplace. The time is meow, they say. Super Troopers 2, all the original guys are back. And let me see. I can't find it. I got lots of pages here.
Well, if it's that low budget, they're not going to have any problem raising that. That show's got a huge cult following.
I think they've got 1.5 already.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And they just announced it?
A couple days ago.
Wow. All right.
So they're on their way.
They are 82% funded with 31 days left.
And how much are they starting to shoot for?
$2 million.
That's what I thought it was, yeah. So if you're a fan, go over to Indiegogo and punch in Super Troopers 2, and you can lay down some money. They got a bunch, of course, of incentives that you can get if you give them a certain amount of money. It's all good times. But boys and girls, sit back and let me tell you a story of a time before Weird Al Yankovic.
Who, I don't even want to imagine a world without Weird Al Yankovic.
Before then, there was only one hilarious musical funny man, and his name was Ray Stevens. That's right. Ray Stevens was the master of the novelty comedy record. Starting with Guitarzan, about the jungle man who played guitar. Guitarzan. Oh, how we laughed at Guitarzan. Or the racially insensitive Ahab the Arab. Who could forget that one? Or The Streak. Maybe you've heard of the legendary song The Streak.
Sure.
Oh, yes, they call him The Streak. It was made popular in their day when streaking was a thing, when people would run around naked. And there was a hilarious hit song about streaking.
Ray Stevens has been around a long time.
And he's never been funny once. Not once ever. And his track record is safe with his new single he's just released called Taylor Swift is Stalking Me. Ray Stevens is now 112 years old, and he's still making unfunny music. And I just wanted to warn you that it's out there. If you hear anything like this, stay away.
She's piling in the backyard now, up in that tall pine tree, with a pair of night vision goggles focused right on me. I swear she's everywhere I go. You know, it's plain to see.
Wow. I give Ray Stevens a pretty wide berth, Ralph, but I gotta agree with you on that. That's a terrible song.
He's terrible. He's always been terrible.
Who's his audience?
Dead people.
Branson people, 70 and over, I think.
And by
and
the
me,
way.
And
this,
me.
This is the first time Ray has even tried to do anything mainstream in years. Because if you go to his catalog of music, it's all how global warming is a fake. And how Obamacare is the end of the world, and Ray's got the armband and the jack boots.
So a lot of those people probably going to download that.
I'm guessing.
Not at all.
They don't know who Taylor Swift is. However, there's some good musical news. A little band called Van Halen hasn't performed on TV since David Lee Roth rejoined the band in 2006, but that's all about to change because there's a gentleman named Jimmy Kimmel who is bringing Van Halen live back to television. They will be the musical guest on Monday and Tuesday of next week's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
That's fantastic.
And then the band's also going to play on Ellen on Thursday, which I think is an odd mix. Van Halen's hitting the road for a North American tour, which kicks off on July the 5th in Seattle this summer, and will wrap up on October the 2nd here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Bowl.
Now, wouldn't your advice be, Ralph, if you're a Van Halen fan, go buy tickets and travel to one of the early shows?
Yes.
Because there's no guarantee they're still going to be together and speaking by the time the tour ends in Los Angeles.
You want to catch a show before the fist fights start. And or you can just watch them on Jimmy Kimmel next week.
Yeah. You'd go see the real Van Halen with David Lee Roth, right?
I have and would again. Yes.
Yeah.
When he came back in 2006, I guess it was, I went to their first show when they're all back together again.
Did he still
and
do
that was
spandex?
One of those tours, I think, where they actually didn't complete it. Even that first tour. He does not do spandex anymore, but brother can still kick.
Right.
Still gets his leg up there. Still has the pipes. Still can do, yeah! Does that.
And what's he doing about the hair situation on stage?
Hats. Lots of hats.
Okay.
Lots of hats.
Because that was kind of part of his thing, was he had that famous rock and roll mane, and then he lost it all, and I just wondered if he, you know, wears a wig or what.
He combs it forward and wears hats, right, basically. And while we're talking about music, in the next hour, we're out of time, but in the next hour, I'm going to bring you the new single from Kylie Jenner.
Oh, no, she's not recording
music. Oh,
no.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you haven't heard about Forever Real featuring Tyga and Iggy Azalea?
I'm sorry, I have not.
Oh, well, I'll school you in the next Showbiz Beat. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ally McCulka. Currently can be seen as Peyton on iZombie. She's 26 years old. Are you catching the iZombie, by the way? You watching?
I have it on DVR.
I'm really enjoying it. I think it's good. Ryan Lewis, 27 years old today. Big Sean, also 27. Catherine McPhee. I still got the McPhee-ver. 31 years old.
What's her show? What's the name of the show she's on?
Scorpion.
That's it.
Jenny Slate, very funny comedian and actress, is 33. Actor Lee Pace is 36. Elton John is 68 years old. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, is 73. And Sarah Jessica Parker.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Well, kind of. No. How old are you, Jessica?
Horrible.
We don't have time to count to 50, but I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Offspring on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ here on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Jay Moore is coming in about 10 minutes or so. Adam Carolla on the program today and a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Allie, you were not with us the last time we talked to Caitlin Dubrow on the phone, but I'm sure you heard about her story. Back in February of 2013, at 18 years old, she's working out in the gym and somehow contracts meningitis. It's a bad deal, this bacterial meningitis. Yeah. And she ends up getting very sick, and it is discovered that her whole body is infected, and they need to start amputating. And she loses both arms and both legs. And as I talked about earlier, I give up at that point. I don't think I'm a strong enough person to be able to try to recover and come back from that and live the next 50 years of my life. I don't think I have it in me. Caitlin is not like me, though. She is very strong and very brave, and she is working very hard to come back and do all the things that she used to love to do, like dancing and boxing and working out in the gym. And she's trying to do that with some help at GoFundMe.com as we try to get her prosthetics up and running. And they have made a remarkable amount of progress with prosthetics over the years. And it's been a long time since we talked to you, Caitlin, but welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks so much for coming on. I feel like so much has happened for you since the last time we talked about it. Kind of tell me where you're at right now. Like, what's going on with you?
I have my leg prosthetics. I just got my permanent legs, and I have my right arm prosthetic, but I need to get my bone shaved down. And my left prosthetic on the top, I need to get my arm lengthened, like the bone lengthened, so I don't have that arm yet.
Okay, let's walk through that. Tell me about the leg prosthetics. Like, what are they like these days? Are they made out of metal? Like what we saw with Oscar Pistorius? Is that what we're talking about?
They're actually made out of like a hard pliable plastic, and like kind of like a cast. And I have these rubber-ish liners that go over my legs themselves, and then I put these things called socks on, and then I put the leg on, and it kind of like it vacuums.
Okay.
So it suctions on.
And what? Oh, that's cool. And what are those like for you to walk on? Would it be like me trying to learn how to walk on stilts? It's just a question of, you know, figuring out the balance.
Well, it would be like you walking on your tippy toes, like all the time.
Okay. And how difficult are those for you to navigate, Caitlin? Or have you pretty much gotten the hang of it now?
I've got the hang of it now. In the beginning, it was kind of difficult, but you get the hang of it.
I would think, you know, we depend so much on our sense of touch. Like, if we're walking around, we walk differently up and down stairs or differently on a rug or on a sidewalk or on grass. I mean, you kind of have to just, I don't know, I'm sure you can do some of that from memory, but some of that is just new navigation skills for you, I bet.
Yeah, it is. Like, walking on grass is weird, but it's doable.
Now, Caitlin, you had over, 22 surgeries so far?
Yeah.
And then I assume, obviously, more are going to come in order just to be fitted with the prosthetics of the arms. But what's the rehab like just when you get the actual prosthetic, learning how to walk and then learning how to use an arm, essentially? Those are muscles you would never know how to use from your upper body, right?
Yeah, like the ankles, those muscles, I use those for my back. Like instead of balancing with ankles, the back muscles help me balance and stay steady. And it's mostly back and core for both upper and lower.
Wow. I guess it helped. I mean, there aren't a lot of upsides to your story, Caitlin, but one of them, besides your incredible commitment and dedication and strength, is that you were a very active, young, healthy person. And so at least you had the starting point of being able to, like you said, kind of use your core, use your muscles to help you with these other things, right?
Yeah, I was a dancer from the age of 3, and then I did kickboxing and boxing and soccer and gymnastics. So yeah, I had a lot of help with muscles.
Are you active now socially since the last time we talked to you? Are you able to get some time away from home and some time away from rehab and kind of go out with your friends, go to the movies, go to dinner, things like that that you used to do?
Oh, yeah. I haven't been to rehab in a while because I don't think they can teach me much anymore. It's more of like a learning experience on my own. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I go out and I have fun with my friends and do things that 20-year-olds usually do.
Right.
In terms of insurance, what's that situation like with prosthetics? Because I know people in the past, it either wasn't covered at all or only a small portion.
Well, I know that insurance is like we pay 20% of it and they pay for the rest. Mm-hmm. But it's very wish-washy on what they decide to do. And I don't know how to explain it, but it's just kind of...
Well, I can explain it for you, Caitlin. Insurance companies spend all of their time to figure out how to deny a claim. That's how they do it.
That's exactly how they do it.
What's a prosthetic leg cost these days?
I know that the prosthetic leg costs like $10,000, I think. And then the myoelectric hand with individual finger movements is... just $100,000 for just the hand.
Wow. Now, so ultimately what you're hoping to have is permanent prosthetics for both legs and both arms.
Yes.
That's the goal here. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you today is we see that you do have a GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com where people can go and they can just search your name, Caitlin, K-A-I-T-L-Y-N, Dobrow, D-O-B-R-O-W, and you are accepting donations there. How has the reaction been so far for you, Caitlin, from people who have heard your story?
It's been great. People have been so giving and so loving, and it's just amazing how loving people are.
And we put a link on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page too, if that's a little bit easier to for people to get to and easier to remember. There are a lot of comments on your GoFundMe page from people who are just so inspired by you. You know, like I said, I feel like I would give up. How did you not just give up and just lay in a ball and cry for the rest of your life, Caitlin? Where are you finding this strength to work so hard to come back?
Jesus.
Yeah.
He is. Like everything to me. He gives me strength and he gives me peace with every situation that I go through because I know that he doesn't go in vain. So whatever I go through in my life, then he will reward me with strength and happiness and peace.
And how do you reconcile somebody like you who's such a good person and a believer to have something so awful happen to you? Like, what is God's plan there?
Well, it's Satan's plan to want to keep me in hell, and it was God's plan to save me for eternity. So he knew that if he let this happen, I would choose him than being stuck in hell.
Boy, that's a great attitude, Caitlin. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know.
But it's exciting to think about the future, especially if you can get, finally get through the medical part of it, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow. All right, Allie, anything else before we let Caitlin go?
I was just wondering, because I have had some tragic things happen in my life. Have you noticed that because of this, it has changed everyone around you to be more grateful for every single little possible thing that before people would just let things go and get really upset over little things, but now no need for that, right?
Exactly. A lot of people, like I said, they're just so loving and caring and they're so sweet and they tell me that they look up to me and I appreciate that a lot, but they're just so nice.
Well, we all look up to you, Caitlin, and we're all rooting for you. And I'm on your GoFundMe page right now. I'm about to make a donation, and I want to encourage every K-Rock listener who's with us right now to chip in a few bucks to help Caitlin, because obviously she's a sweet girl who had an unfathomable thing happen to her, and she's going to come back from this, and she's going to be great. So let me give out the information again. It's GoFundMe.com. You can search for her name, Caitlin Dobrow, or you can just go to the Kevin Bean Twitter account. We just tweeted out the link to that, or the Kevin Bean Facebook page. It's so great to talk to you again. You sound fantastic, Caitlin, and congratulations on all the hard work you've already put in and the bright look at the future. And let's catch up again in a while and see how you're doing, okay?
Of course. Thank you.
A pleasure. Thanks. Bye-bye. Now I got the insurance industry all over my ass, Ralph.
Yeah, sure.
We don't try to keep money that doesn't belong to people. We're helping people.
I've worked in the insurance industry for 20 years. Where did I miss the training that all we do is try to deny claims?
At least get
your facts together, ensure accuracy before you jump to conclusions.
I'm not listening anymore. I'm boycotting you.
She didn't say that, but very nice email from a very nice Kevin Bean listener named Colby who does work in insurance. And, of course, I know that's not the case with every insurance company and every agent.
Is she a good neighbor?
She might. She doesn't. I can't say for sure.
Are we in good hands?
I don't want to out her insurance company. But I will say I wish I had dealt with Colby if she's actually paying out, because the insurance agents I have dealt with over the years, not so much eager to reimburse me. That's for sure.
We kid. We laugh. We joke. We love. Right?
Thank you.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Hey, our friend Jay Moore decided not to be here in the 7 o'clock hour, as was previously scheduled, but he will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. So in the meantime, Ralph, you brought up a fascinating story earlier this week that
I think
bears a little more discussion and maybe some phone calls from our listeners about their own strange coincidences.
This one struck my eye because it took place near my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There was a young lady who was a young girl, the age of 10, I believe, back in 1988. And she was at a theme park, an amusement park, just outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, called Sesame Place. It's there in Oxford Valley, Pennsylvania. And I know it well. And she was there with her family, and Dad was shooting a home video of her and her two sisters and her mom enjoying the day there at Sesame Place, frolicking with Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and having the count come up to them and teach them how to count. And then while she's looking back on this video from 1988, 27 years later? Someone do the math. 27 years? She's sitting there with her husband, and they're watching the video, and he's like, oh, and there I am also in the video.
What? Wait a second. Hold on a second. She's watching childhood videos of herself and her
from 1988.
Her future husband walks into the frame of the video. They don't know
her
each
now
other.
Her husband, who's 13 years old in the video, his bespeckled little adorable face comes into the frame. He looks at the camera, realizes he's in the middle of the shot, and slinks out to get out of the way of them filming it. But it's him at the same amusement park on the same day in the same space. And then some 25 years later, there they are, man and wife.
I know it's just a coincidence. There's no invisible hand here moving these pieces. It is. It's just a coincidence.
Jesus at Satan and Satan at Sesame Place pulling people's strings.
So he's 13. He's on a video 4 feet away from the woman he will grow up to marry.
Yes.
And they don't know each other at that time, but they find out after. That's crazy.
How about Alexa and Donna Voutsinas?
Now, what's their story?
They're looking at pictures of their childhood some 20 years after they got married. And they're looking through their childhood photos. And he sees in the background of a picture of them at Disney World in Florida. He's got pictures taken of him by his family. In the background, there at age 5 in a stroller is his future wife.
There it is again.
Behind him in the family.
So go to
now. Keep this in mind. She was living in Florida at the time, home of Disney World. Her young husband to be was visiting in from Canada.
And how did they end up together and married?
Just life made them cross paths. But when they were aged 5, they were in the same location at the same exact time together.
So if you want to meet your future wife or husband as a little kid, go to a theme park.
Apparently that's where you
that's
go.
What we're yes, learning. Right. We want to hear from you, the Kevin Amin listener, about crazy coincidences with the people in your life. You found out after the fact, oh my God, that was you? I was there too. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not sure what we're going to get, but any kind of crazy coincidence, we want to hear from you. And I've got one to get us started with a listener named Jesse who wrote in. She emailed yesterday because she heard we were talking about this. Mm-hmm. Jesse is a he. My wife and I are both adopted. We were born hundreds of miles apart. I was adopted when I was nearly 4 years old. My wife was adopted when she was 3 months old. We were raised in different cities, obviously, by two different families. We're not brother and sister. We're not related in any way. We just were both adopted.
I was worried about where this was going.
We've been married for 17 years. Recently, my father passed. I was looking through old files, and I found a printout of the courthouse docket from the day that I was adopted. The family listed on the docket directly after my adoption was my wife's family.
What?
Turns out, about 20 years before we met, she was adopted on the same day, at the same place, with the same judge, at almost the exact same time as I was.
What?
How bizarre is that?
Their lives basically started on the same day.
Yes.
And then ended on the same day when they got married and just ruined it all.
Well, I don't know about that.
Spirit.
Yep.
17 years they've been married, though, but they were adopted as little kids, one right after another. This is the same kind of thing you're talking about with the theme park where their, you know, their new families were at this courthouse picking up their kids, not having any idea that one day that Jesse and his wife were going to grow up and meet and fall in love and get married.
That's crazy.
The world is bizarre, you guys. The world is bizarre. All right. Your crazy coincidence. We want to hear from you right now on the Kevin Amin Show. It kind of gives me chills to think about that. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Talking strange coincidences here on the Kevin Amin Show. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Things that you found out that you and friends or family have in common, like this one from DJ. I've been with my girlfriend for 6 years. We have two kids together. At a family get-together, we found out that her grandfather, who was an OBGYN doctor, delivered my mom.
What? Whoa.
See, that's the type of thing that just, it comes up and you go, how, what, how, but no.
You're all meant to be. It's all destiny.
Maybe so. Maybe. Very strange coincidence. Thank you, DJ. All right, let's get some calls on the air here at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go with Tori in Long Beach to get us started on line one. Hi, Tori. Thanks so much for hanging on. Thanks for calling the Kevin Amin Show. What's going on?
So a few months ago, my mom was going through some storage boxes and found one of those old autograph books you get at Disneyland and you take around for all the characters to sign.
Oh, it's cute.
This book had belonged to my oldest brother. Mm-hmm. Flipping through it, we discovered an autograph from Snow White. Well, turns out my current stepmother, who married my dad 3 years ago, started at Disneyland as Snow White. It was her autograph my brother got when he was about 9 years old.
So your brother met his stepmother when he was 9 years old without knowing it.
Yep.
That's insane.
She verified the autograph. We've tried to find pictures, but we definitely have the autograph that they met when my brother was nine.
How about that? Again, theme parks. I don't know how Disney is doing this, but they're pulling all the strings. Thank you so much for the call.
Did the autograph read, "I'm going to bone your dad, love Snow White," when she wrote it?
Awkwardly enough, no.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Thank you, Tori. Appreciate the call, my dear. Let's go to Julia, also in Long Beach. She's on line two. She's up next. Hi, Julia. Thanks for calling the Kevin Amin Show. Talking about strange coincidences. What do you got?
Okay, so I was sitting around a few years ago. I was with my boyfriend at the time, and he was telling me this story about how when he was 14, he had taken his mom's Jeep to school, and he wasn't supposed to be driving, obviously. He's only 14, and he hit a little girl. He just put the front of her tire in a crosswalk.
Oh, no.
And I was 8. And, yeah, so when he's telling me the story, I'm like, shut your mouth. Oh, my God, that was me. And he's like, no, it wasn't. I'm like, I swear to God, that was freaking me, dude. And he's like, well, what happened? I'm like, I'm not the one who reported it, but some lady saw it happen, and she reported it, and the guy got in trouble. And he's like, oh, my God, that's so crazy. I cannot believe it was you. Yeah, I was 8 years old, and he hit me on my bike in the crosswalk.
And then you broke up.
Not over that, but
you did. Yeah, how can you keep dating a guy who's hit you in a crosswalk?
Seriously.
Seriously. I'm surprised he's not still in jail for it.
That is crazy. Thank you, Julia. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Robert Sandemus, line five, up next. I mean, I'm trying to find some sort of... Hi, hang on a second, Robert. I'm trying to find some sort of thread, some sort of thing that makes sense. But some things are just coincidences that happen, and there's no bigger picture. Right, Ralph?
You don't know, man.
Yeah, why would you say that?
You can't see the big picture because it's not for you to see.
Is that what it is?
That's right.
Robert, you're up, son. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? So about 3 years ago, my best friend and I took our kids to a Miramar air show, and we walked into one of the displays that had a World War II airplane, and we took our kids in there to sit in the cockpit. And as I'm sitting there, I'm telling my best friend, hey, I remember when I was like 10 years old, my little brother and I were here, and we ran into a kid with his brother, and my little brother wanted to sit in the cockpit. His little brother wouldn't let him, so we got in a big argument, and this kid and I got in a shoving match over the cockpit. So when I started telling him, he goes, were you wearing an Incredible Hulk t-shirt? I'm like, what? Are you crazy? We went home. We went to our parents to see if we could dig up any pictures. It turns out that my best friend, I never met him before. It was him and I that got in a shoving match when we were about 10 years old.
So you now your best friends, when you were 10, you had a fight.
Exactly.
So when you became friends with him in high school, you had no idea that you had already met him before.
No. And then, you know, obviously we went through high school. Now I'm 42 years old now. So, you know, we went through almost adult life without knowing that ever happened.
Yeah.
How about that? That is interesting.
Sexual tension. That's what that was right there.
Thank you for the call. Let's move on to La Puente. This is going to be Elsa. She's up next. She's on line 8. Hi, Elsa. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, so I have a friend who we share the same birthday. We ended up getting married on the same day. We didn't even know it. We got pregnant on the same day, and I recently saw her. She showed me the new tattoo that she got, and it is exactly the same tattoo that I got.
Wow.
All right, you are being stalked or something right now. What's happening here?
This is a single white female.
It's just one of those weird things. She she was a friend of my husband's. I met her through him, and it's like, wow, all these things just happen.
Why didn't your husband marry her? Sounds like it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, he should have, huh?
He saved himself a lot of time.
He could have a threesome with you guys and wouldn't even be cheating. All right, thanks for the call. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next on K-Rock. This is not quite on the level of I met my spouse when I was 2, but Kelly writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, my ex-boyfriend and my new boyfriend were both assigned to jury duty at the same time and were stuck together all day in the same group. That's a little awkward.
Right? One said, my ex-girlfriend's such a bitch. He goes, my current girlfriend's such a bitch. What are the odds? It turns out, same girl.
Hey, our friend Jay Moore is here. He'll join us right after the top of the hour. Is he? What's going on with Jay?
He's in the other room. He's bombastic. He's on fire. He's buying breakfast. He's demanding to see videos of things. He's taking over the room, as he is wont to do.
Very excited. He'll be joining us next. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
Well, I promised you. I don't give you what you want. I give you what you need.
Is this Miss Kendall Jenner?
Yep. And you need to be warned that this is a thing. Kylie Jenner, not Kendall, Kylie.
Oh, sorry.
She is keeping the Jenner-Kardashian family record for being talentless perfect. There's no danger of any talent leaking out of that family. They have dropped her new debut single, a song called Forever Real, featuring Iggy Azalea and Tyga. I wonder how she got Tyga to work on her.
It's weird that they know each other.
And they're boning! Forever Real. It is an audio turd. You'll never unhear this. And I'm sorry to have to do it to you, but if I don't expose you to the dark side of the world, how are we ever going to fight the good fight, right? That's what happens. If you let Hitler go unchecked in the late 30s, you know what happens? World War II. Someone stepped in 1938, whenever Berlin slapped him around a little bit, we made a different case.
So this is you stepping in, standing up, and saying, we've got to do something.
No more isolationism.
All right.
That's my opinion.
Let's hear it.
Here's the new Kylie Jenner song.
Wow. It's like the worst church service ever.
It sounds like the pastor is trying to make it hip for the kids.
Oh, good Lord. There is
nothing exceptional about that.
Boy, is she not even a good karaoke singer.
Well, maybe she needs to work with Jaden Smith. Maybe that's a
They should all get together and start a super group. Willow and Jaden and her and get Kendall in there in the mix.
Do you guys remember, on the topic, the Kim Kardashian song that came out with a couple of years ago? I have a little bit of that if you want to be reminded of the other rest of the musical talent in the Kardashian family. Listen to this. That was pretty much the whole song. That's how that. So is this an improvement?
What are the lyrics? I couldn't quite make out the lyrics. Oh, that's right. She just repeats, "They play in my jam" over and over again for an hour.
So this is better or worse than Kim?
Worse.
Than her sister Kim. This is worse. Okay.
Because at least the other thing was auto-tuned within an inch of its life and it had a beat that you could do like ecstasy or something and pretty much ignore it. It would just be happening in the background of your life. This other thing, let's hear that again. Can you play that one more time?
Sure.
They play in my jam. No. Play the Kylie one. Play the Kylie one. You have changed my life. Unbelievable.
That's a remix, you guys.
No, I liked it.
Thank
remix!
You.
Remix!
That's bad, you guys. But you know what? People will buy it.
Why? Will they really?
Yeah, because people are horrible.
I don't think people bought the You're Jamming My Jam
No, they
song.
Didn't. They didn't manage to stay away from that.
The one Kim Kardashian venture that was a failure, to the best of my knowledge.
Let's, as a people, say we won't.
They're remarkable. They're a phenomenon. Just can't sing, can't dance, can't act. They are the lilies of the valley.
You know what it's kind of like, Ralph? And I never, ever thought about this before until just now. It's like they're the royal family, where they don't have to do anything. They just have to be.
But who? But
Harry plays polo.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just people are obsessed with and follow them and watch, you know, want to know everything about them and want to see pictures of them and everything. But they don't do anything. They're just famous because they were born into that family. It's almost like that's what they've been able to create, these Kardashians. They don't
rise
do
up.
Anything.
It's time to rise up. Pitchforks and torches and storm the castle.
Well, you're going to have to get through Kanye if you want to bring that family down.
That's true. Speaking of Iggy Azalea. She reveals in this new issue of Vogue magazine that she gave her girls a boost about 4 months ago. Had a boob job.
Hear that, Allie?
Said she's been thinking about it her entire life.
They're still providing boob jobs.
Did not know that.
Iggy went under the knife for a good reason, she says. Says she was wearing a size 2 or 0 on top and a 6 on the bottom because of her bootay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And she had to have everything tailored. So this way, now that she has boobs, she can buy stuff that's more size appropriate.
Good for her.
So about the bootay. Speaking of the bootay, remember that song she did? Like, they did a duet, her and Jennifer Lopez did a duet, a song called Butts or Asses.
Oh, yeah, they sure did.
Cheeks or Sphincters, I forget what it was called.
Something butt-related, you're right.
It's definitely anal.
Yeah.
Well, Edwin wrote in this email. He said, Ralph, I was recently staying at the Beverly Hilton and had the celebrity sighting of a lifetime. I was in the elevator about to go up to my room, and who should I see but Jennifer Lopez and her father coming my way. The elevator was crowded, so we weren't sure if they'd be able to squeeze in, but I urged everyone to make room, and Jennifer Lopez got in. It didn't look like her father was going to be able to fit, however, but I kept urging everyone to scrunch back, and finally he was able to make it. As the elevator went up, Ms. Lopez thanked me for making room for her father, and I replied, there's always room for J-Lo's poppy. I woke up in a new
Bugatti. Come on.
There's always room for J-Lo's poppy. There's always room for J-Lo's poppy. There's always room for J-Lo's poppy.
That's stupid.
That's awesome. Thank you, Edwin, for writing that, sending that in.
Like hell.
There's always room for J-Lo's poppy. Thank you, Chip, for playing the bed so loud I could barely even compete with it. I appreciate that. That's good. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ally McCulkin. Can be seen as Peyton on iZombie on the CW.
Now, she was half of the popular Disney duo Ally and AJ?
She was.
Oh, how about that? They've been around a long time.
I believe her sister was the other half of that duo.
All right.
26 years old today. Boy, that CW, man. They got me now. Last night's Flash. Awesome! Anybody watching The Flash besides me?
I think you and Kevin are the Flashers.
Hey, easy there.
Are they called Flashers?
I don't believe we're called Flashers. That's against the law. Arrow, anyone? Arrow? Arrow, anyone? What the hell's going on in this room?
Again, I think that's you and the monkey, and he's out. Sorry.
Musician Ryan Lewis is 27 years old today. Rapper Big Sean, also 27. Jenny Slate is 33 years old. Catherine McPhee is 31. Lee Pace, very talented actor. He is 36 years old. Remember that that series he had about the pie maker?
Yes.
Who could kill people, would bring them back to life with his
touch.
Pushing Daisies. Thank you, Chip.
Good pull,
well
Chip.
Well done. It was a great show. So I'm embarrassed I could not remember the title, but I really enjoyed that program. Elton John is 68 years old. Aretha Franklin is 73 today. And Sarah Jessica Parker celebrates her 50th birthday today. And she is still running at Santa Anita, which I think is so impressive at her age that she can still finish in the money. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Long-time friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Jay Moore, comedian, actor, sports personality, radio and podcast host, doing the Brea Improv this weekend with two big shows Friday, two big shows Saturday, and then Sunday night. Jay Moore at the Brea Improv. Tickets on sale, improv.com, just $30. Please welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. What's up, Jay?
Friday night, Brea Improv, getting everybody pregnant. I was watching the Learning Channel this morning, Bina. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you meet Ally McKay? That's Ally McKay.
Yeah, I met Ally McKay. And we actually met about a year ago at the Pearl Vision Center.
Is that where you go to get your eyeglasses? What's the Pearl Vision Center?
No, it's where I get sandwiches, Bean. Get your head out of your ass. I'm Chris Penn. I don't care how mad you are at me. That's not half as mad as Danny's going to be at us. Stop pointing that gun at my dad, Larry.
A lot of call for the Chris Penn impression, I bet.
You'd be surprised.
Right. So you're watching the Learning Channel.
Your turn.
No, you're telling a story now.
No, there was a guy on with 135-pound scrotum. That was the name of the
really?
Show.
Oh, really?
That was the name of the show. The man with the 135-pound scrotum. You didn't see it?
We saw him on another show a while ago, and he was trying to get surgery. Did he ever?
I don't know, but he's a big fat guy, which I don't understand because his nuts weigh 135 pounds. If I told you, if I said, hey, here's a 35-pound kettlebell, Bean, not one, just 35, not 135. Here's 35-pound kettlebell. I want you to carry it with you everywhere you go, even as you sit right here at your desk. You'd be ripped and shredded. That's core strength. This guy's testicles weighed 135 pounds, and he's a fat guy, and he walks around town with them in a baby carriage. And you know what? Some things are sacred, Bean. Allie, you know, I'm a man. I'm a generation. This is the I love you, Dad generation. You know, you see another dad with a stroller, and you go, oh, look at this guy doing it, man. And then he turns the corner. Good Lord! Put a sailor suit on one of those twins. Those are ugly. That kid's got a full beard. Yike! As my son would say. But the name of the show, the man with the 135-pound scrotum, which is amazing because the network executives didn't want you scrolling through thinking, I wonder what this show is about. And then when he had to eat, Allie, he ate potato salad. No, excuse me. He had macaroni salad on a paper plate and in lieu of a table bean.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Ate it right off of it.
Mm-mm. How about that?
But that's not what bothered my wife and I. What bothered my wife and I was that it was macaroni salad. For some reason, that's
not that he was using his nuts as a table.
It skeeved us out like macaroni salad. It's horrible. Like if you had like short ribs, you'd be like, do your thing, dude.
Why have they not been able to help this man? Doesn't
because
like
he died. He died.
Oh, spoiler alert!
He
it's
died.
Too big for him. Yeah.
He died. The guy died. You know how? And let me put this in perspective for you: how big that scrotum is. It weighed 135 pounds. There's really no analogy I can draw. I could try. When I was a freshman in college, I wrestled at 135 pounds. I was 18 years old. I had a driver's license. And they would say, Rutgers University, 135 pounds. Please step on the scale lightly. And then I would take off my tidy whities and I would step on the scale with apparently very tiny balls. And my entire body, with a driver's license and a job, weighed 135 pounds. His nuts don't know a single or a double leg takedown or a whizzer.
That kind of puts it in perspective, Jay Morris.
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, listen.
Yeah?
Thank you. I know we talked to you on the phone. Thank you for being on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness coming up in a couple of weeks.
I feel like I've been thanked a dozen times by you guys.
Well, we're that grateful for you.
I can't wait. Oh, Dave is trying to figure out an app. It's pretty amazing.
He's putting you. Dave, are we on Meerkat right now?
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, we are.
Really?
So how can people find it if they want to actually see Jay Moore right now?
I just tweeted out the link from K-Rock, okay. Kevin and Bean.
Let me know when I'm supposed to flex my new arms that I got, because they're pretty impressive.
Have you been working out, Jay?
I have.
What are you going for? What's the goal here? Health, or you just want to be buff?
I figure I got about a year left to add size before I do like Pilates and yoga, because I'll be like 45 years old. You know?
Yeah, be too old for that. So do you feel like your wife is starting to notice younger men? Is that what's happening?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I just wondered if maybe this was the time where you thought, wow, I really have gone to hell. It's time for me to step up.
Look, daddy brings home the bacon and fries it up in the pan, and then I make love to my wife for 16 seconds in a row. I don't goof off in the bedroom.
I have seen Instagrams of your son. That is a jacked up, muscular enormous. Little nugget.
That is. There is on my Instagram, Jay Moore Sports, him. You saw the one of him going, he does Tracy Morgan impressions.
Yeah,
I enjoy my lunch.
As he's patting his belly.
And I didn't coach him. He just hit the ground running with, I enjoy my lunch.
Well, he must hear Tracy Morgan. He must think that's your real voice.
Yeah. And then the other one, he goes, yeah, get pregnant, little butt.
And how old is he?
He's 3, and his arms are over the back of the couch, Bean.
Why
most 3-year-olds, you would just see like the top of their head go by or like a rooster kind of haircut.
Why is
he's
giant?
Going, unacceptable. And his arms are over the back of the couch. Why is he a giant?
Yeah.
I used to put Metrex and Celtec in his formula.
Is he going to grow up to be a hilarious kid like
no,
you were?
No, he's going to maul quarterbacks. He's going to be the first Meredith Moore. He's going to be unlike any athlete you've ever seen.
So you'd love to see him have a career in professional sports?
Yeah, what dad wouldn't? But if he wants to do musical theater, I know the whole book of Sondheim, too. I could help him with that.
All right. Got it all going
at
on.
At last, my hands complete.
I want to see some sort of printout of how your mind
works.
Why is
the Learning Channel showing me a man with enormous nuts? I used to learn about gravity and black holes, novas, supernovas. Now you know what I learned in the Learning Channel? Little people love to make chocolate. There are more little people on the Learning Channel than there are little people. I call them midgets, as does our friend Brad.
Jay Moore is at the Brea Improv for 5 shows this weekend, Friday,
woo,
Saturday,
howdy.
And Sunday. Tickets are just $30 at improv.com. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, if you go to the Kevin and Bean Twitter account right now, you get a link to watch on Meerkat as Jay Moore is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What am I listening to? What's that, Jay? You brought your own applause?
Studio audience.
It's fantastic.
Sound effects.
Right, hey, I want to thank Debbie for sending this in. Here's the update on your friend with the 132-pound scrotum, Jay.
He's dead.
You saw him on the Learning Channel. He is dead. He died at last March. He died at 49 after multiple heart attacks. Apparently, he had been
attacks? You should die of nut attacks. He had a nut allergy.
Apparently, he was hospitalized often for complications from diabetes. That speaks to your remark that how fat he was, right?
Or as Wilfred Brimley calls it, diabetes. I'm Wilfred Brimley, and I would like to talk to you about diabetes.
Hey, Jay Moore.
Why is he so angry, Wilfred Brimley?
I don't read angry off of that.
Really?
He's just trying to help old people.
Why does he tell me his name? He's the only member of Cocoon that's still alive. I know Wilfred Brimley. I'm Wilfred Brimley. I want to talk to you about diabetes. Because, Bean, I think 10 out of 10 doctors call it diabetes.
Yes.
Who was his doctor? Yosemite Sam in 1838? I don't know how to tell you this, Wilfred, but the Mormons is dressing up like Indians and attacking the white folks. You might have diabetes.
I never imagined you'd have a Wilfred Brimley set today, Jay.
I could tell by the way you kept trying to interrupt it. I got diabetes. You might have diabetes. I'm Wilfred Brimley. You might have diabetes. This is the same guy that sold his oatmeal 10 years ago. I'm sure the people like, sound like Colin Quinn. I'm sure the people at Quaker Oats are like, maybe we pull those commercials off the shelves because now he's doing diabetes commercials. All right. You don't want anybody making that correlation. Sorry, Bean. As you were saying, I get excited.
Your friend Adam Carolla is joining us next hour, and I want to say I saw his Road Hard movie, where you are in the film,
yes,
a significant part, essentially playing the part of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing the talk show host.
Did you know I was offered that job?
You're offered what job?
Kimmel. I met with Michael Eisner for the, quote, ABC late night component.
I don't believe you.
That'd be a stupid thing to make up. And then I told Michael Eisner I wanted to do a sports talk show instead. And he said, sure. And that's how we did More Sports on ESPN. We did one full season of More Sports on ESPN. And then Jimmy, rightfully so, obviously, in success, it's proven to be the absolute perfect choice. That's the guy.
Why did you not want to do a late
night
network talk show?
Because I don't want David Arquette's third cookbook to be my second guest like a year in. I would kill myself.
But Jimmy hasn't had that happen. Jimmy gets great guests.
Yes, but Jimmy also has 3 weeks vacation, and it's when the network says so. And what's great about doing stand-up comedy, last weekend I was in Calgary, and then I left my hotel room, and I walked around. I did whatever I wanted. And before that, I was in San Francisco. I took a cable car home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and people blew pot smoke in my face, allegedly. And then the weekend before that, I was in San Diego doing stand-up comedy. And you know what? It was really cool and nice out, and I walked around, and I looked at boats. And if I had a talk show, I can't do it.
No, you'd be working 18 hours a day like he is.
Adam Carolla told me on the set of Road Hard, he goes, you know why we do what we do? Because we do something over here, and then like a magpie, something shiny catches our eye, and then we go over there, and then we go and we do that thing, and then we travel, and then we could do a little radio, and then we do some acting, and we do this. So once you take that late night gig, that you're done. That's it. That's all you can do. And all you're doing is, look, I want to be famous. I don't want you to come on my show. So I'm like the guy, hey, could you give me a boost? Like when you got to get over a fence as a kid? That's your job. Just everybody comes through. Here, you've locked your hands together. Here, put your foot here. I'll give you a boost. Oh, you got, oh, new record. Okay. Here's your boost. Here, oh, you're on a show. You're on the Chicago Fire Department show. Here's your boost. Here you go. I want the boost. Me.
You don't want to be the booster. You want to be
the men are talking.
Oh, wow, Adam.
You get the boost. Jimmy Kimmel is a big star now. You get the boost from being a late-night host. I mean, you get to be David Letterman or Johnny Carson or Jay Leno. I mean, that's a great gig. Look, most comedians, yeah. Jay, would kill for that job to get a late-night network
TV
show.
First of all, I'm not a murderer. Second,
great job.
I was walking into Gelson's with my baby when he still had, like, goop in his eyes, baby. He was literally, like, 2 days old. Mm-hmm. And this guy comes out. I like the people outside, like, supermarkets that want to sell you stuff. Like, they'll always be like, would you like to sign this? They always have, like, some sentence that if you don't stop, you look like Hitler. Like, you're walking into the market. They're like, are you against babies dying of AIDS? And you're like, oh. And you're, like, kind of frozen for half a step. You're like, no, I'm all right. And you bounce. And then I'm walking into Gelson's in the Pacific Palisades holding a 48-hour-old baby. And the guy goes, can I talk to you for a second about Planned Parenthood? And I said out loud, maybe know your audience. I'm holding a very perishable item right here, alive in my arms. Maybe talk to the people behind me. Not holding life, you idiot. Here's the thing. You know,
how would you have been as a talk show host? How do you think you would have done at that job?
I think I would have interrupted a lot and took a lot of network notes because I interrupt so much. And I think I would have had a tantrum because I don't think I was mature enough to handle constructive criticism. And I think I probably would have been fired.
Wow. So it worked out great for Jimmy. Worked out great for you. You're happy doing what you're doing.
You know what I'm going to do today? It's 4 o'clock. I'm going to nap. Now, you let me know next time, Jimmy, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's to take a nap.
Yeah, that's true.
Now,
all right.
Does he have more? Does he have 10 times the money that I have? Yes. Is he happy? Sure. Is he happier than me? Bean?
Impossible to tell. I think he's got a great life, but I think you do too. You both have great family lives. You both have jobs you enjoy.
That was a layup, Bean. Come on. Who's happier than me?
No one's happier than you are, Jay Morris.
That's why comics hate me. I don't have a hole in my soul. I wake up with joy and it bothers them. And I talked to Pastor Rob Bell from Oprah's Super Soul Sunday on the More Stories podcast, and he said, the reason you're a divisive point of discussion amongst comics is because you have joy. And joy, when you're dealing with people in entertainment, is like a snowplow. Just boom, people left to right.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was a neat thing. More Stories app's free, by the way. MOHR Stories. Free app. What are you doing? I'm being filmed on a tablet.
You're not being filmed. It's being streamed live. It's not being captured on film at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at the new pipes. What's up?
Oh, this is weird.
Yeah, everybody gets pregnant. Bring it improv Friday. I got two shows, but Sunday's the one you want to go to because you go to work Monday hungover and said, yeah, my broccoli smells like asparagus.
Jay Moore at the Bray Improv. Five shows this week, and tickets are just $30. Improv.com. More with Jay after this on K-Rock. The incomparable Jay Moore in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show this weekend at the Bray Improv. Friday through Saturday. Five big shows.
I'm sorry, Bean.
Hey, Norm. How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. Norm McDonald here. I don't mean to interrupt.
Not at all.
But Jay Moore at the Bray Improv Friday, you know. he was talking about that guy with the large scrotum.
I heard that, yeah, the 132-pound scrotum. The guy passed away, yeah.
Yeah, how about that smoking Indonesian baby?
I've seen that, yeah.
I love that guy, you know. I wish that was my child, you know. Yeah, because then I could take him to the park, you know. And that means I could smoke at the park. People go, hey, yeah, buddy, you can't smoke here. I go, oh, I got my baby. You know, he's smoking. I can't let him smoke by himself. I'm a present dad, you know.
Sounds like you spent a lot of time on the internet, though. No,
I was on the Learning Channel. That's what I learned. Okay. I'm a bean.
Yes, Norm.
I'm a learned man.
Yes, you are.
And you know what I've learned through all my years? I'm not young in the tooth anymore, you know. What I've learned, I really like breasts.
Well, breasts are good, Norm.
Yeah, they're not bad, you know. When you're a baby, your mom goes, hey, there you go. That's for you there, you know. And that's a little weird if you think.
I'm Russell Brand. I'd like to weigh in on this, Bean, if you don't mind.
Yes, what's going on? What's happening right now?
We're just having a Russian roulette of impressions, which is beautiful because there's one man with 44 men living inside his brain. I like the silence as well.
Hey, Jay Moore.
Was that Simon Orgoff, Uncle?
Jay Moore, do people come up to you all the time and want to impress you with their impressions?
Only walking.
Really?
Only. Nobody's ever come up to me to do Pacino. Nobody's ever, like, gone, watch my Keitel. It's always walking, and I will say this, it's always pretty good.
Walking's pretty easy.
I don't think it's easy. It's easy-ish if you feel, you know, every impression, like, you got to crack the code, like, what makes it, and walking one syllable words or two, like no, little Kevin and Bean,
yeah,
and of course, if you want to be brave with the Christopher Walken impression, yeah, you have to do the whisper. Nobody, does the whisper. That's what makes him. It's the whisper.
I like it. Who's the most obscure impression you still insist on doing?
Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah.
Don't tell Jeffrey. How bad could that be?
I still don't get that. I still don't know why you do that.
Why? What do you mean? What's not to get?
I don't know anything about the Barefoot Contessa except what I've heard from you.
But when I do it, there are 15 women in the audience that will never miss a show of mine because they just like melted their faces. It's like you go see the Black Crows and they open with Remedy and you're like, oh my God. I'm sorry, I'm on K-Rock. It's like you go see the Offspring and they open with Keep Them Separated. You're like, oh my God. Barefoot Contessa is on the Food Network, and she's the most uncomfortable person ever to have her own show. And the entire time she's cooking, she keeps talking about her husband who shows up. You know, Jeffrey's coming Friday, so I'm making him chicken. How bad could that be? And she always says, how bad could that be? And don't have too much fun without me. And then every once in a while, she looks into the camera and says, don't tell Jeffrey. I'm like, I don't know Jeffrey. And it's almost like she's a gimp, like an S&M dungeon ball gag, and they unzip the gimp and they take the ball gag out and they go, you're gonna make chicken for Jeffrey, but don't tell anybody or you're going right back in the cage. And she's like, next I'll put in some cayenne pepper, don't tell Jeffrey.
I gotta see your DVR, man. You were watching some strange stuff.
I watch murder shows. I like anytime somebody finds a dead body, they always go, well, first we thought it was a mannequin. So then we got close. Mannequin? Everybody. Like, if you're hiking in Runyon Canyon, you find a body, you're like, well, at first we thought it was a mannequin. You're like, why? Mannequin? Where do you shop? Where the mannequins are zip-tied and purple and smell like funk. It's a body. My mannequin-to-human-being ratio in my 40 years on this earth, Bean, is like 60 million to zero.
Right,
I've never, like, well, all the mannequins got loose and just started offing each other and throwing each other in the bushes. If I see a dead body in the bushes, my first thought is going to go, oh, my God, a dead body.
Yeah,
and then I'm
going
to high-five whoever is next to me. What a neat thing.
You well, a Dateline no, guy?
Huh?
Dateline?
Keith Morrison, something was brewing at the local Waffle House, and it wasn't the coffee. What was brewing was murder.
Oh, I love it so much.
Keith Morrison really is the white Morgan Freeman.
Josh Mankiewicz, too, on that show with all the interviews is awesome, too.
Josh Mankiewicz, everything's a little nasally. Do they have good Danish? Keith Morrison... He's been on the More Stories podcast, and he was in my home, Bean.
Really?
Shaking his hand, talking to Keith Morrison, and I realized I cannot be murdered. It's a statistical impossibility because what is he going to narrate? And there's footage of him talking to me?
Oh, yeah, have
that would be
way more lugubrious, man.
Don't you miss Chris Hansen more than anything in the world, though, with the Catch Predator?
I hated Chris Hansen because he can't say his S's, and the two most important words on that show were seat and sex. So we always go, why don't you have a seat right over there? And then as he goes through the emails, he goes, it sounds like you were here for sex. It's like, just let Harry Carey do the news if you're going to let people in. Like Chris Hansen. I like when they're like, this is To Catch a Predator Raw. Like, yeah, as if To Catch a Predator. Like, yeah, put raw when you're talking about children. Like, make it grosser.
Yeah,
make the
right.
whole concept grosser by scrawling raw across the screen. This isn't To Catch a Predator where you have pedophiles actively seeking out minors for sexual pleasure. This is To Catch a Predator Raw. Like, we just decided to take it down a few thousand notches as far as disgusting goes, and Chris Hansen pops out, why don't I have a shit right over there? Seems like you wanted sex.
I miss that show so much. And it was doing such good work. I mean, it was obviously catching people every
week. How about this? How about
the public service?
You would think in the history of To Catch a Predator, there would be one guy when he goes, well, why don't you sit right over there? And the guy just sits down. And Chris Hansen, because they're all like, no, I'm here to save him. You know, right. They always have their crazy excuses.
Right.
In the history of To Catch a Predator, it's impossible that one guy didn't go like, yeah, no, I'm here to have sex with him.
Right.
Well, what are you here for? Well, I don't know if you read the emails. I got wine coolers in my truck. I got condoms. Where is he? Are you his dad? Are we cool? Did I just bang out two fetishes in one shot? Is this really happening?
What about the guys who walk in, who watch the show, recognize Chris Hansen, and then still try to pretend that that's not why they're there?
And eat a cookie. Like,
yeah,
they will sit on
I
the
like
stool
the cookie.
And eat
I made
the cookie.
You some sweet tea. Right. Let me go finish laundry. I don't know if you have children. There's not a 13-year-old alive going, let me do laundry. Hey, before we get freaky, let me bang out this laundry because I'm the world's only 13-year-old that knows how to separate colors.
It is a little suspicious.
It's idiotic. Sure. And they always eat the cookie, and it's always sweet tea. And Chris Hansen can't. I'm Tom Brokaw. Everybody that does the news is.
Our lead story tonight is we're out of ice. Political unrest today in China.
I miss that show. I'm just going on record saying bring
you
it back.
You missed To Catch a Predator?
I love that show. Hey,
Hey! Catch a Predator.
We got to go, Jay. What are you doing
in your show? Like you wanted to have sex with a young man.
What are you doing on your radio show today, Jay?
Oh, who cares? Come see me at the Brea Improv.
All right.
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and the big one Sunday. And get that More Stories app. It's free.
Yeah.
And you can hear us talk hilariously with other comics, rock stars, and et cetera.
It is awesome. Tickets are just $30 for Jay at the Improv. Improv.com. The great Jay Moore. Thanks for stopping by, sir.
We got pregnant.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us right after the top of the hour. And a new round of Bean Makes Us Guess coming up on this morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's happening?
I just want to be honest. I just want to have full disclosure. People are sending me stories now saying that the Kylie Jenner song is not the official song. It's not the real song. This is a fake song that someone released because she released the news that she was releasing that single. So someone may have dummied that up and released it ahead of time.
Oh.
So we're trying to get to the bottom of it and see what's what. But
that's why I couldn't download it.
It's a possibility that that's just crap. And
well, it is just crap. That's not a possibility.
Crap.
That's
we
true.
We know that. But it might be a fakey. Might be Jake the Fake, as they say back in the day.
All right. So we're still awaiting what real Kylie Jenner music sounds like.
Exactly. So she might be brilliant. How do we know?
Right.
Yeah. What are the odds? Anyone? Anyone take any action on that?
I'd say not good.
I'm with you. Sad news. John Hamm just completed a 30-day rehab program for alcohol abuse. I mean, I guess it's
that's
not sad.
White people problems.
I guess it's not sad. I'm glad he got himself figured out. Checked himself into a hospital in New Canaan, Connecticut, the end of February. High-end facility, according to stories, and got some treatment for his struggle with alcohol, and apparently all is well. So that's
good news.
That's good news. I just went back because he can't drink anymore. That makes me sad personally. Oh. It does. That makes me sad. I feel bad for people who can't drink.
Okay.
Why is that so silly?
Well, people that can't drink is because they have problems.
I understand
with
that.
It.
I understand that, and that's why I wanted to show my support by saying it's sad that he can't enjoy a cocktail.
Very few right? people can go through rehab and come out and be a social drinker, right?
No, you can't do upon. That. No, that never practically never happens. And that makes me sad because I know how much I enjoy drinking and I would like others to be able to imbibe and enjoy equally as much to Tom Bien. But they can't do that if they have a problem, so that makes me sad.
See?
Thanks
for that.
You feel
like you'd be missing out a lot in life, like it would dramatically decrease your enjoyment of life if you couldn't drink anymore, Ralph?
Would it dramatically decrease my enjoyment of life? No, because most of life I spend sober, so most of life would be the same, I'm assuming. But those times where I get to have a cocktail, I really enjoy that experience. Yeah, so that would be gone from my life. But the rest of my life probably wouldn't change at all because I got to get up every day and just start knocking it back.
Sure, right.
I mean, today I have, sure. I did yesterday, but not every day. Probably not tomorrow, maybe. Who knows?
One day at a time, right? After Jay.
Yeah, really? You have a cocktail?
Speaking of John Hamm, when you watch Mad Men, it's a miracle that everybody in the 1960s business world didn't die of alcohol poisoning, isn't it?
No, how great was it? They had bars in their
they
offices.
They drink so much.
Oh, they just drank and smoked.
I mean, 10:30 in the morning, they start drinking hard liquor.
You could smoke in elevators. You were drinking in your office. It was just the golden era. It was just the perfect time of life.
All the groping you want.
Oh.
Nobody says anything.
Just slap your secretary on her ass. Hey, give me a little coffee. Want you, sweetheart? Boom.
Yeah. You were bored out of time, man.
Good old days.
There's that time.
Right, Allie? The good old days.
Allie, you're with me, right, Allie?
Nope.
The women and minorities sure miss the 60s, man.
Nope.
You don't get it, man. Hey, Top Gear. You familiar with the Top Gear show on BBC?
Love it.
Yeah.
I do, too. I love it. Looks like they have sacked, in the words of the Brits, fired their host, Jeremy Clarkson. He's been with that show forever. But he has had a reputation as being a little volatile. And it seems as if he got into an argument with one of his producers on the show. It led to a fist fight. Hmm. And the guy ended up having to go to the emergency room because he got roughed up by the host. And BBC, first of all, is state-run television. So they really have to sort of toe the line when it comes to these sort of incidents. And that's what the head of the BBC said. A staff member, who is completely innocent party, took himself to accident emergency after a physical altercation accompanied by sustained and prolonged verbal abuse of an extreme nature. For me, a line has been crossed. And so the host of the very successful show, and he was a big part of its success, gone.
Again, back in the 60s, you could beat up a coworker
right?
and get away with it.
That's what I'm saying. Kids today, they don't know. Real quick email here. We were talking yesterday about graves, how Bean likes to go visit graves.
A lot of our listeners, it turns out, enjoy visiting cemeteries as well.
Yeah, something's up with these people. Someone said then, oh, you say you can't go look at a rock with somebody's name on it, but you got Adam West, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's a rock with his name on it. So, yeah. Adam West was there to appreciate it, as we both looked at the rock with the name on it. If you can go visit Jimi Hendrix's grave with Jimi Hendrix, I highly recommend it. Otherwise, shut up! Here's an email from Kyle Thompson, wrote in about the graves. Hi, Ralph. I used to think visiting grave sites was dumb, too. But that all changed during a trip to Italy last year with my girlfriend. We were walking around Modena. We were drawn to a graveyard off the side of the road. We walked around the graveyard, and I began to hear opera music in my ears and felt an intense connection. The connection was so strong, I began to cry. I wanted to know where the origin of the music was. It was beautiful music. It was the most beautiful music I had ever heard. The music became louder and louder as I headed towards a large gravestone. It was the grave of Pavarotti. Yes, I got choked by dead Pavarotti.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Come on.
I got choked up by Pavarotti. I got choked up by Pavarotti. I got choked up by Pavarotti.
No.
Mm-mm. He got choked up by Pavarotti.
No, 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 no.
He got choked up by Pavarotti when he saw his grave.
I refuse. No, no.
It was Pavarotti's grave that choked him up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Aretha Franklin is 73 years old today. Elton John is 68. Sarah Jessica Parker is 50. Lee Pace, very talented actor, is 36. Jenny Slate's 33. Catherine McPhee is 31. Big Sean celebrates his 27th birthday today. Musician Ryan Lewis is 27. And Ally McCulka currently can be seen as Peyton on the new CW series iZombie. She's 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What are we playing there? What was that? What was that song, Chef?
Green Day.
That was Green Day?
All right. Yeah.
Everything. It's so weird. All, these songs, I hear the last 2 seconds of these songs, and I go, what the hell is that? Welcome to the Kevin DeBede Show here on a Wednesday morning. Our old friend Adam Carolla is on the phone. Ace Man, how you doing, buddy?
Good,
what's going
man.
On, man?
Doing good. Get it on.
Get it on, indeed. You, you of course, know Allie McKay is in here with us now. You know Allie.
Love Allie.
I got to fill in twice as news girl for Adam Carolla back in January.
Yeah. Oh. Allie Sloppy Seconds McKay. We love her, Bean.
Since college. That's been my nickname.
Of course, Adam's movie Road Hard is available everywhere, all the time, always available on all digital and VOD platforms. We just had Jay Moore in on the show a few minutes ago, who is so good in your movie, Adam. You get all the information at adamcarolla.com. It's a really, really funny movie, folks. Adam, of course, is still on the road. You can see him with special guest Ralphie May. That is going to be tonight at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are available for just $25 at adamcarolla.com. And before we get into this week in Rage, I wanted to ask, I seem to get the impression from your Twitter account that your next movie is already getting ready to come out just in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, the Paul Newman racing documentary is coming out on May 22nd. We're doing a sneak preview at the El Capitan right next to Jimmy's Theater on the 16th of April. And all the money's going to the Newman charity, but it's going to be a bunch of celebs there. And it's going to be a big night. And it's just Paul Newman, but only his racing life, which nobody right. knows about.
That is, I know that's been a passion project of yours for a long time. Did you ever get Letterman to crack and agree to be part of the documentary?
No, he said he had nothing to offer, although he co-owns an indie team, and Newman co-owns an indie team, and he owns and drives one of Newman's old Volvo station wagons that he shoehorned a big American V8 in. And other than that, he has zero connection to the man.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, well, I know we got Robert Redford, so that's good.
That's awesome. Well, I'm really looking forward to that. That is fascinating. And Newman's a fascinating guy, and I know how passionate he was about racing, as are you. Great stuff going on with the Ace Man. All the details at adamcarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three, working my way to number one. I was on Kimmel the other night. I was talking about one of my inventions that I unveiled on your show. It's the bracelet you get, the purple bracelet you get after you order Beats at the restaurant so you don't think your insides exploded 8 hours later when you look down at the toilet after you stand up. You have a little memory. They give you a bracelet. By the way, I've given it a name. It's Beats by Ace.
I like it. Dr. Dre won't be suing you at all.
No, but I've taken it a step further. I thought, what else? Well, first off, I expanded it to the golden bracelet for the golden beads so you don't think you're King Midas. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You don't want to look down and go, oh, honey, call my boss and tell him I quit my job. I'm crapping gold. So, and I moved into the next line, and this is one I really discovered working with Dr. Drew all those years in Loveline. I'd eat a nice asparagus dinner. We'd do Loveline. We'd walk down the hall. He'd stand next to me at the urinal during the commercial break, and I'd take a whiz, and he'd go insane because of the asparagus. I forgot I'd eaten asparagus. How about this? When you eat asparagus, you get the asparagus hat. It's like a party hat. You know, with like you get at a kid's bar, it's got one big stalk of asparagus on it. And when you go to the urinal later on that night, people don't sidle up next to you. You know, maybe they use the handicap stall. They give you your space. You're wearing the asparagus hat.
You're just trying to avoid all bad surprises in the bathroom. That's what you're trying to do here.
I'm just trying to make life a little bit better, Bean. That's okay. All I'm trying to do.
All right,
number two. I've realized I've been traveling all over this great land. I have not found a cab driver who's from this great land. You go to Minneapolis, you get a guy driving the hack who's from Mozambique. I mean, it's completely gone. But there is one bastion of white cab drivers still in this great country of ours. It is Las Vegas.
No kidding.
I don't know why. Why is that? Can somebody tell me why? Now, they're crazy old mining prospectors with beards, no teeth, and a crazy laugh, and, there's beard dander everywhere, and it smells nicotine. But why Vegas, Bean? Why is Vegas the last place in the country that has English-speaking, born in America? You hate to be in their cab, don't get me wrong, but they're still technically blue-eyed.
Is there some reason that's obvious that I'm missing, Adam? Should I know the answer to why that's happened?
I don't know why. It's the last place. It's the last place you can find. So it's basically a museum for white cab drivers. You like to go there and see how people lived in the 50s, except for instead of the Brill Cream, these guys have beards down to their waist. And number one, I was thinking about this. You know, all these companies getting together and trying to tell you, Starbucks is going to start a conversation on race, and McDonald's, you're going to pay it with love, and Coke's about putting your name on everything and having an awesome day and being an awesome you. Remember when companies used to just make stuff and then give it to you and that was it?
Yes.
We make Coke. We make soda. Enjoy. You don't need to know our philosophy. We don't need to hug it out. We don't need to feel great about ourselves. They don't need to ask if you lost weight. All they do is do window coverings. That's enough. Or like carpet, whatever. When did everyone need to feel great about the company? Remember? So McDonald's, as I was thinking about it now, is talking about paying everything with love and loving it and feeling love and the good vibes in the air. Remember what their real first commercial campaign used to be? It was taking a Big Mac and breaking it down to its smallest elements. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Right.
They literally just described what they sold.
Right.
Have we all turned into such colossal pussies that we go in and buy a hamburger and like, yeah, but we didn't hug. They literally just, when I was a kid in the 70s, they just went, here's what's in our goddamn burger. You want it or not?
And
don't
now
worry about
we have
us. We could be Nazis. We make a hell of a burger.
Now we have to hold hands and sing Kumbaya before we leave the Golden Arches.
Yeah, they used to literally just tell you what the food was.
Yeah, they're no pun intended. They're biting off more than they can chew sometimes, I think, with some of these campaigns. It does
saying,
get complicated.
Hey, big pussies, can we get over it?
I love it.
We don't need to love everybody. Just go in there and eat their burger if you like and go the hell home and hug your stupid kids.
AdamCarolla.com for all the details on the Road Hard movie, the Catch a Contractor TV show, of course, the new book that's coming out, so much going on with the podcast and everything else, and the special live show with Ralphie May. That's going to be a lot of fun tonight at the Irvine Improv. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. Tickets still available, just $25, AdamCarolla.com. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll see you soon, buddy.
Thank you.
This is one of those days where you should be glad you're not hearing the show off
Come
the
on.
Air. You're only hearing the show
that's
on the
That's one of the classic jokes of all time.
Hey, listen, before we get into the showbiz beat, I just want to give another shout out to our friend Caitlin Dobrow that we talked to earlier today. She is the Orange County woman, now 20, who when she was 18 contracted bacterial meningitis. We spoke with her on the phone earlier this morning. It was nice to catch up with Caitlin again. And she's doing great, as well as could be expected under the circumstances, considering she had all four limbs amputated as a result of the infection. But she's got prosthetic legs now and is working on getting prosthetic arms. She still has a couple of surgeries ahead of her. Insurance is paying for some of it, but obviously she could still use the help. So there is a GoFundMe page. I just wanted to put it out there again if you weren't listening earlier today. We have a link to it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or the Kevin and Bean Twitter as well. But if you want to help Caitlin raise some money for her new prosthetic limbs, please go to GoFundMe.com. And, Ralph, we always talk about how our listeners are very generous.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of them have donated money as a result of the interview this morning. Jason, for instance, donated $20. Caitlin, thank you for sharing your story this morning on Kevin and Bean. Hearing you speak about your faith really touched my heart. Thank you for inspiring so many people. And there's just a whole bunch more. Just heard your interview on K-Rock. Says, Norma, you're strong and have a great spirit despite what you had to go through. My donation can only be small at this time, but I hope every little bit helps. And Rachel donated some money, and Ethan, and a bunch of people who heard her on the show today. So I hope that continues throughout the day and the week. GoFundMe.com. Her name is Caitlin Dobrow, or you can get the link from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to help out a very sweet young lady who's coming back from a, what seems like an insurmountable problem. Mm-hmm. But I think she's going to make it. I think she's got the right attitude to do that. All right, moving on. Rob is here. Time for our final showbiz beat of the week for, of the day for a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
As I was listening to her, I was wondering, is there any progress being made in the world of transplants for limbs?
Oh, now that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
You never really hear about that. There was a story about the guy wants to do the head transplants, but let's start off slower. How about arms and legs and things like that? That'd be great if
they
you
have
could.
Done a hand.
Yeah?
They have done a hand transplant. I've heard that. But I think, just like you said with the idea about the head, I just think it's incredibly complicated.
Too much
difficult.
Microsurgery. You'd have so many blood vessels and nerves and tendons. Right. And
yeah. I think they'll get there, though.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Just keep living on. If you had my hands, if you could, when I go, if whoever gets my hands, be very lucky.
Why?
Because it's touched a lot of stuff. I'll make you a list of all the things I've touched.
No, thanks.
Come on. You want to know what I've touched.
Not really.
Come on.
Nope.
Give my hand a sniff. Just give this one a sniff.
Oh,
just smell
why
this
would
one
you do
hand.
Because
it's been places.
Penis.
See? Kevin knows. Oh. Hey, you want tickets to Furious 7?
Yay!
All the kids do.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Rodney, I didn't even give out the number yet. We've got a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Furious 7 that's happening on March the 31st at the AMC City Walk.
We got a winner!
We don't, Lightning. Lightning, we don't have
Nelly.
A winner. No, we don't. Furious 7's in theaters everywhere on April the 3rd, but you will get to see it early at our K-Rock screening if you call me now at 1-800-520-1067. Call that number. You'll probably get Beer Mug. And tell him that he doesn't know where Marilyn Monroe is buried.
She's in
the Westwood Cemetery. Yeah, that's where
now we know, thanks to our listeners.
Now we know. So call now for Furious 7 tickets. 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of Furious 7, Vin Diesel out there promoting the film did an interview with Variety claiming that it'll be the biggest movie in the history of Universal Pictures. Look, that could happen.
Now, that's a pretty, I guess, that's a pretty successful studio with a pretty good track record of films, though, right?
They've had some blockbusters, like your Jaws's and your Back to the Futures's. But the way the franchise performs, it's very possible it could be an all-time money-making film for Universal Pictures. Then he said something that perhaps might be a little less likely. It will probably win Best Picture at the Oscars, he says. I don't know about that.
That's the guy you want promoting your movie, though.
He seems to believe, that's for sure. He says, unless the Oscars don't want to be relevant ever. Oh, that ball's in your court, Oscars. You going to let him get away with that? You're going to prove how relevant you are and give Furious 7 the Best Picture nod this year.
They don't tend to go for action movies, do they?
No. Comedies and action movies don't fare well, usually.
All right, I looked it up, Ralph. This is the territory where Furious 7 is going to have to go if it wants to be the biggest Universal box office champ of all time.
Okay, dokie.
You mentioned Jaws. Jaws is number 6 on their list with $260 million.
Let me guess. Can I guess what number 1 is?
Of course, yeah.
E.T.
E.T. is number 2.
Ooh,
$359 million for Universal. Great guess, though. Let me give you some others on the list, because I don't expect most people to be able to, you know what studios put out movies. But Jurassic Park is number 3.
Sure.
Meet the Fockers, number 4.
What the what?
How the Grinch Stole Christmas, number 5, then Jaws. That's your top 6. So we're looking for number 1.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey was the 5th largest moneymaker for Universal?
$260 million. Whoa. Came out in November of 2000.
Jiminy Cricket. So we're missing one. One.
Let me tell you this, by the way, and this also gives credence to what Mr. Diesel is saying. Number 9 on the list is Fast and Furious 6.
See, there you go. It's ready.
Bruce Almighty is on their list. The Bourne Ultimatum. Ted is number 12, Ralph.
Yeah, sure.
Ralph Garman's Ted.
That's what they're calling it now. Yes.
King Kong, Back to the Future is at 15. What do you think?
Number 1. money-making movie of all time for Universal Pictures. And it's not E.T.
Allie, you got a guess?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. Number 7 is Despicable Me. Number 1 is Despicable Me 2.
Wow.
$368 million is how much Furious 7 is going to have to make to be the number 1 all-time Universal box office champ.
If you had given me an hour, I never would have came up with you with Despicable Me 2.
Yeah, because you don't think of Universal when you think of those big, you know, those big animated movies.
You're
you know?
Right. Yeah. Look at Bean chiming in with stuff that matters.
Sort of, kind of relevant entirely, right?
It was at all a speed bump. It was a little fuel. They got us down the highway a little quicker.
Strangely what I'm known for.
Not at all what you're known for. Usually you throw the car in reverse when we're going 85 miles an hour. But no, we left the transmission intact, and I'm very pleased to say so. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Aretha Franklin, born on this date. 73 years ago, the Queen of Soul. Singer Elton John is 68. Lee Pace turns 36 years old today.
Boy, he's a talented guy.
Very, very talented. He's in those Hobbit movies now.
Yeah.
Jenny Slate, funny and talented lady, 33. Catherine McPhee, of course, a TV Scorpion. She's 31 years old today. Rapper Big Sean is 27. Ryan Lewis is also 27. Ally McCulka from iZombie is 26. And Sarah Jessica Parker.
Ding, ding, ding.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
What is wrong with you, Allie?
Enters the winner's circle at 50 years old today. Congratulations to Sarah and her jockey.
She's a beautiful woman.
Allie, don't make us have to go through this again.
She really is, though.
She's really not a beautiful woman.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
See,
no.
She said to herself.
No, you don't.
She's talented. She's an icon. She's a fashionista. She's got a lot going for her. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Horse is a horse, of course, of course, but no one can talk to a horse, of course, that is, unless the horse, of course, is Sarah Jessica Parker.
See?
Whoa, Sarah. Down, girl. Down.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
It's a nice tribute we gave her.
I thought so. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up at speed.
All right, Allie is always wrong time, 9:49. We are out of time for today, but we have an excellent Kevin and Bean show on tap for you tomorrow, including our friend Jim Rome. We'll be talking sports, particularly as we get into another weekend of NCAA college basketball action. Dr. Drew stops by on the program tomorrow. And check this out. We're going to talk to the vice president of production at Activision. They make Call of Duty, don't you know? The 2015 Call of Duty Championships are going on with a $1 million cash prize for the winner.
For playing video games. That's a pretty sweet deal.
I think he's going to tell us how you can get involved in that, how you can apply to play that. So if you're great at
First,
Call of Duty.
I have to get a video game.
Well, yes, that's
all right,
true.
I'm going to start today.
Also, a brand new internet roundup on the program tomorrow. And it's been a while since we talked to our old friend Jensen Karp. He is the Kevin Bean hip hop correspondent. He's got a story, and we'll talk to him tomorrow as well. That's all on a Thursday Kevin Bean show. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.